DeMarco Show, the best wrestling program on the planet.
Well, alright. You know, that's like music to my ears, man, because when you hear them trumpets playing, you know the pretty boy Pitbull Kenny Kenya's in the building. And I love this live mic because it allows me to come out here whenever I want and say what's ever on my mind. Now, Austin, I see you in there, bruh, and I'm not trying to step on your toes, but I gotta be honest, I'm listening, and what you said's starting to get under my nerves a little bit.
Well, why don't you have whatever you've got to say, and why don't you say it right here?
Well, I will. Austin Aries, you out here talking about headlines and making headlines. And I know you live in your own little world and your own little bubble, but the whole world knows Kenny King was the one making headlines last year. And those headlines read like this. Kenny King brutally murders all competition to become X Division champion. Kenny King still rolling all over everybody to stay X Division champion. But one day, the headlines read like this. X Division championship stolen from Kenny King by Chris Frail Sabin.
Greg DeMarco Show.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh?
There's a lot of things I like, and I like the Greg DeMarco Show.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Really?
This is Leanne Marie, and I just wanted to say that I love Patrick O'Dowd.
We all love Greg DeMarco.
Really?
I like Greg DeMarco.
Sometimes, at night, we spoon.
Anybody got time for that?
No, Greg. No, Greg. I'm serious. I love you.
Don't do it like that, baby.
Patrick, is someone tuckered out? Someone sneaky? You gotta go to bed, huh?
Damn!
We all love Greg DeMarco.
That I love Patrick O'Dowd.
Yeah! Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Oh, you guys are so adorable.
That's gonna be a soundbite right there.
Uh-oh. You're welcome!
You're listening to the Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux, and, that's not, that came off really weird. Oh my god, see, this is what happens when you're trying too hard. That's what happens, that's, I just gotta, this is, third time's a charm. This is the Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux, and you're listening to the Greg DeMarco Show, the only show, the best show, on the web.
What day it is?
That day would be Sunday, if you're listening live, to the Greg DeMarco Show with Greg DeMarco, Patrick O'Dowd, Heather Lynn, and in about 30 minutes, Sue Young. We got a full house, full component of wonderful people here on the Greg DeMarco Show. Wonderful people and Greg DeMarco. It's an amazing, amazing thing. As we are live today, got a lot of fun things to talk about. Patrick O'Dowd, Heather Lynn, how are we doing today?
I am good, thank you. Yourself?
Doing well, Patrick.
Hanging in there.
Yesterday, Patrick texted me. He's like, I'm so excited for the show. Today, he's we got a show? What?
Hey, things happened. It's been like 24 hours, you know?
Children get sick. Things do happen.
Kids get sick. It's not fair.
An hour ago, I was getting home from the urgent care because my son has an infected mosquito bite. He's allergic to mosquitoes.
Ew.
And so every time he gets one, it gets infected. And it was great. They had to clean it. It was wonderful.
That sounds disgusting.
Like a lot of fun.
He was a trooper. He didn't cry. He was the man. He was joking around with the nurse. It was good stuff. Good stuff. I was proud. That's right. I was proud. You guys, however, could care less. But it's okay.
Yeah,
I was
like, Stone Cold.
Hey, be quiet. I'm a mom. I care.
You are a mom. You do have a child. And we're not talking about, quote unquote, the girls, as some people would think. We're actually talking about your daughter. Which is A-OK. Lots and lots of fun things to talk about this. We're going to talk some TNA. We're going to do a little Battleground pay-per-view preview. Thank you to the WWE for only booking 3 matches for your Battleground pay-per-view, making our preview very easy. And we had DeMarquette Nikki St. John. She'll be kicking off hour number 2. If you're listening and you're like, where's Nikki St. John? She usually comes on later, and she'll be kicking off hour number 2. And then, of course, we got some fun stuff for the second half of hour number 2 as well, and should be good. So stick around. Lots of fun with that. Of course, you're listening on the Powerhouse Pro Wrestling Network, or Pro Wrestling Powerhouse, as it would be, ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Of course, BlogTalkRadio.com/PWRadio. And, Patrick Dowd at Wrestling Realist on the Twitter. You just got to drop that first I. And, of course, at Heatherlynn 1024. That's her birthday, if you're wondering. You can send her a present now. It'll probably make it there by October 24th. So, Heather, get a P.O. box. You don't want to give out your real address to people. You don't want to do that.
No, you're absolutely right.
I don't know. Heather, though, used to joke around and like to tell me that she knows where I live. Doesn't know where I live, but that used to be her.
That's a little creepy.
Her calling card there. She used to love that. So, Heather, you don't actually know where I live. It's okay.
You don't know that.
I'm scared. Patrick Riddell.
You should be a little scared, man. I'm secure that I think she has no idea where I live. And therefore, you're on your own, pal.
Look, and then she admits Excellent. That she doesn't know where you live, however, may know where I live. Another big announcement, if you read the Wrestling 5-1 this week over at the 411 Mania, and I'm sure you did, you saw the announcement that it was my last of the sort, Wrestling 5-1 at 411 Mania, as I'm officially departing the site. They've known for about 2 weeks now, as Tony Acero, as he'll fully take over the Wrestling 5-1. And we'll be joining a little, and I say little facetiously, a little site called Wrestling Inc., WrestlingInc.com, and the Greg DeMarco Show will actually be a part of Wrestling Inc. in some capacity, as yet to be announced capacity, we'll put it that way. Still on Sunday night, so don't worry about that. So remember a couple weeks ago when we announced a couple moves and Patrick O'Dowd was like, where are we moving again? He was right. You knew.
I
knew.
Because I'm usually right.
Yeah. Well, you know, there were big plans that were put in motion pretty rapidly moving, but I wouldn't expect too many other moves after this one. This is kind of, they're only the biggest wrestling site on the internet that's not like owned by, you know, Bleacher Report or ESPN or anything like that. They're the biggest independently owned wrestling site on the internet, and we'll be joining that team very soon. So I'll still be writing for them, and then of course the Greg DeMarco Show, just broadening the audience and giving people a lot more to talk about and a lot more to do. So should be lots of fun. But we've got some stuff to talk about today before we get into our Battleground preview, which Sue Young will be joining us for here at the midpoint of the hour. We're going to talk a little TNA and the Dixie Carter heel turn. As Patrick O'Dowd so eloquently tweeted, it's pretty much dead in the water a couple days ago, as you said.
Last week on the show, and like I was trying really hard to be like, okay, we got to give it some time. Let's see what happened. And I couldn't. Yeah, you know, and I, you know me, Greg. I'm one of the last people to give up on a bad angle or something that starts off on the wrong foot. But the people that they're relying on to pull this angle off and to make it work and sound good. Because I don't have a problem with it being a rehash or a familiar angle. Like, whatever. That happens all the time in wrestling. Dixie just is, she shouldn't talk. Like, she's just awful. And it hurts to watch. And, you know, AJ's not that much stronger. And even Hogan, who, you know, is renowned for being quite a talker, he couldn't save anything of what we watched on Impact this week. It's bad. It's painful. It doesn't work. And they need to jettison this direction, I think. Tomorrow, you know, next week, we already know that there's taping and spoilers for next week's show. Like, they need to abandon ship pretty quickly on this part of the direction and get, you know, if they're going to have Dixie be evil, get her a representative for her to send out there to talk for her. Have her talk someplace where they can manipulate it, like the interwebs, you know, like the Twitter, you know, or, you know, comments on the website or things that she can put out that other people can read to make her sound evil, because she can't do it. She can't talk. It's just horrible to watch.
Here's the funny part to all this. Last week, I, of course, you know, I gave up before you did. Last week, I said I was already done with it, already over it. And yet, I didn't hate it on Thursday.
See,
I fell into the pleasantly surprised category. And in fact, I thought the best person of the three in that promo was the beloved Dixie Carter. I was shocked. I was watching this and I was like, wait, why am I liking this? And I found myself liking it. So much so that let's take a little sample.
Don't you hear what's going on out here?
Honey, I got this.
Don't you hear what's going on out here?
I do. I get this. I get it. Okay? I know you people, you're not happy with me. And you know what? You must not be either. But you just don't understand. And bless your hearts, how can you understand, huh? Because 99% of the people in this world, they've never had to live in my world. Ever. They don't know what it's like. All the decisions and all the obstacles and the heart-wrenching decisions that I have to make. And you know what? All the 99% of you that have so graciously contacted me in the last 4 to 5 months, criticizing me, putting me down, well, guess what? You need me. You people, you need me. It's the 1% that creates all of your world. It's the 1% that creates your world that you get to live in. Why, I, on the other hand, I have to suffer the burden. And obviously, this is not a popularity contest. I have gone down that road for 11 years. And look what it's got me tonight, huh? So wait, everybody, please. This is business. Hulk, listen up here, okay?
Dixie,
look, no.
Please,
I'm not going to say what you did earlier in this ring was a mistake, but I would really have appreciated it if you'd have run it by me first, okay?
Shut up!
We're good. I'm not gonna play too much more of that. I didn't hate that, Patrick O'Dowd. I didn't think it was terrible. I didn't think it was wonderful, but at the same time, it was far better than last week and could have been a whole heck of a lot worse.
I'm not driving, and thank goodness, because that almost put me back to sleep.
Okay. Yeah, at least Heather's talking some sense now. Here's the thing, Greg. Like I actually like the idea of what they're trying to do. Like they threw the 99%er stuff out there. You know, like there's a lot of very topical stuff that makes sense that I think could be a good show. I just the delivery of Dixie Carter and it just did, like last week I was willing to forgive. This week, like after hearing it again, like I can't hear this on a week to week basis. I don't feel that it was really all that improved. I mean, if you listen, she repeats a lot of lines. Her, like, she has an awful voice. with that high-pitched whatever it is. And maybe she'll get a Vicky Guerrero sort of reaction as it moves forward. But I don't like the delivery. I don't think that... I think that it's going to be very, very challenging for the improvement that she needs to do to happen fast enough for the angle to then really work. And when you don't take somebody seriously, it's hard to then take that angle seriously. And, like, I don't take her seriously. Like, I don't. I look at her as, like, oh, you're a big mark for yourself.
I took her more seriously in that promo than I've ever taken her before. That's not saying much, because I've never really taken Dixie Carter.
I was like,
that
have
seriously.
You read what you've written about Dixie Carter?
Yes. Oh, yeah. And I, you know, again, I am always going to be 100% honest, even if it means I've changed my opinion on something, even if it means I feel differently about something like that. Unless we're playing a game with Chad Perry and I'm trying to be funny and entertaining, I'm going to say what I see. And I'm watching this, and I watch it again on YouTube, and I'm like, really? Do I really like this? And it turns out that I did not hate it. Heather, it sounds like you, however, did also hate it.
I didn't enjoy it. It sounded like her voice just maybe went stab needles inside of my ears.
It's
I'd rather listen
to
Vicky than her. I know, but I'd rather listen to Vicky than her, and that's saying something. But I honestly don't think that they're going to be able to achieve what they want to achieve with this angle, because they're pretty much just doing the same thing that the other company's doing, but not as good. With worse actors, and what's going to be the whole outcome? What's going to be the point of that? And I mean, it seems like a lost desperation, you know, cry for help, and I'm not quite sure if it works.
It is. It does seem like a desperate ploy. It does seem like that. It seems like WCW in the last couple years of WCW's existence. I mean, this is, you know, you had Vince Russo coming out, you had everybody all of a sudden doing what they did behind the scenes, now in front of the scenes. I think part of the reason why it works for me is this is pretty much how I've always envisioned Dixie Carter behind the scenes. This is probably closer to her real persona than anything we've ever seen before. Like, I just assume she's a raging bitch, like I have for quite a while now. And I think that it is. Hogan seems to be on the way out. You know, AJ and Bully Ray kind of at least acknowledged his existence last week, so that's good. You got Sting seemingly going to put over Magnus. They're bringing in some new... Kenny King was back, Heather. You got to be happy about that.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be happy about it if he actually won.
Yeah, well, and that's the other thing is I actually loved the exchange between him and Austin Aries, and then the match left a lot to be desired. That was really the problem I had. Like, I wouldn't have minded if he lost. Like, in fact, you know, you expect him to lose when he's going, you know, up against right. Aries. But, you know, there's losing and then there's, you know, losing. And he didn't really, like, it was a very quick match that didn't, in my mind, make him look like really that much of a threat to Austin Aries. And maybe that's just the being victim of time or something like that. But I really wish they would have done more with the two of them and really let them work a stronger, longer match that would have allowed me to be like, okay, he's given Austin Aries a run. I questioned whether that happened on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't the best match for Kenny King at all. I think I was still happy because it was Kenny King. I love that he was revising history. And well, we haven't seen Kenny King in forever. It was someone different. Like, that's part of what makes me happy. It's just someone, like had you told me, oh, Kenny King's going to be on Impact Wrestling this week, I wouldn't have believed you. I would have believed you more had you told me he was no longer under contract to Impact Wrestling. I just, you know, had a hard time believing that, you know, they just haven't used him in so long. It's been forever since he's been there. He does play a role next week. He's not part of the announced, Ultimate X-Max at Ultimate X-Match at Battle for Glory. So we'll see. Their roster's so thin, though. Who knows? Maybe he'll play another role. You just never know with TNA. I'm just glad that he was there. You've got Manic working with Jeff Hardy, Chris Sabin, and Austin Aries. You got this Ethan. Who the hell is Ethan? I have no idea what that's about. It's just that they're at least trying something different. I'm not saying it's going to work, and I'm not saying I like it. I'm just saying that I've gone back to the I will give it a chance phase that I wasn't at last week. Like they won me over enough for that. Now from now the build to Battle for Glory is going to say a lot for TNA. I think they're gonna make or break with this build to Battle for Glory. So we'll see. It made me happy, and it at least made me willing to give it a chance. I don't know if it's gonna work out, but I don't hate it as much as I did last week. Basically, is where I'm at.
So I want to ask you one question, Greg, and this is actually going back to the media, because this is the biggest problem I have with this current angle with Dixie. Who wins between AJ Styles and Bully Ray?
Oh, well, that's funny. If you look at my the rundown, it says Greg's biggest fear. And here's my biggest fear. And this is TNA has to overcome this, and they can't overcome this until Battle for Glory happens. My biggest fear is that Hulk Hogan turns heel and ends up aligned with Dixie Carter. he re-signs, and you know Hogan, he's always got to find his way back to the action. And he's like, listen, brother, this would be great, brother. You know me better? Hulk Hogan is the heel. And I just, you know, I fear that. If Hogan doesn't go away, if Hogan ends up, if you know, right now he's putting this over, like he's allowing Dixie to get the better of him. And that's not what Hogan usually does. Unless your name's Yokozuna, you know, and if Yokozuna wasn't dead, he'd probably convince TNA to sign him so he could go over Yokozuna at some point. But it just, you know, that I'm still fearful that Hogan's going to cost AJ the match at Battle for Glory, turn heel, and we got this new alignment between Hulk Hogan, Bully Ray, and Dixie Carter, which would make zero sense in any form, in any way that TNA could do it.
Yeah, I...
Oh, wait, will he give the title to Bully Ray and then call him the face of the company, too?
If they mentioned face of the company, or if they mentioned best for business, that would be a disastrous mistake. Because they're already treading.
They're already playing along that line. And the scenario you just played out, like if that were to happen, you know, in any way, shape, or form, I may be done at that point. Like that may be the final nail because it makes zero sense when you look at everything that happened between Hulk Hogan and Bully Ray. You can revise history to a point. You cannot undo what was, what, 6+ months of storyline
you couldn't. Not effectively.
Yeah.
Because
you can do anything. Like, you can do bad writing. My thing is, say Hogan is really gone for real, you know, and what happens on the – we're not spoiler-free. By the way, you said Dixie gets one up on Hogan. Spoiler alert, Dixie begs for Hogan on her knees for him to stay when he walks out on her. That's not getting one over on him. But I don't know if it makes – it doesn't, in my mind, with the stories they were telling, make sense for Bully Ray – to win and retain, yet at the same time, with the story they're telling, it doesn't really make sense for AJ to win. So who wins?
I think AJ wins. I think AJ wins, and then Dixie gives him the ultimatum, just like Dixie does to Hulk Hogan, although he ends up walking out, and of course she begs and whatever. But they're setting up Desperate Dixie, which is what her character's going to be. And look, Dixie getting on her knees and begging is good, because that's not what Triple H and Stephanie do. They're at least making her a little bit different than they are. Just a little bit, but a little bit different. So, again, they have a better chance of winning me over with what they're doing now than what they were doing a few weeks ago. I'll say this. If this goes the wrong way, then TNA could move their permanent taping location to the vacant store in the shopping center by my house and have it be free, and I wouldn't go. But that's That's what they're teetering on right now. This is make or break for TNA, at least in my opinion. Some people will still keep watching, but not everybody. You could lose a whole hell of a lot of people. And remember, people always talk about like the dying days of WCW as if it was the booking that killed it off, if it was Eric Bischoff. It was because Ted Turner sold the damn thing to a company that didn't want anything to do with it. That's why WCW died. It didn't die because of the things they did. It died because Time Warner didn't want wrestling, and they wouldn't even agree. Eric Bischoff tried to buy it. They sold it to Vince McMahon for less than Bischoff was willing to pay for it. So this type of booking didn't kill WCW. Ted Turner and Time Warner killed our beloved WCW. So while Dixie's not great, she's no Paul Heyman, she's no Triple H, she's no CM Punk. She was better than Hogan and AJ were on that night. So I'm willing to give it a chance. That's all I will say. But we need to shift gears because we do have a WWE pay-per-view to talk about, and that is Battleground. And Sue Young will be with us in a few minutes, and so we'll make our actual picks, which won't take very long because they haven't booked very many matches. I do want to tell you, there's two rematches at the top of the card. Is that too many? Should they have tried to do something a little bit differently with these two matches, Heather?
The rematches?
Yes.
I mean, with as short a time span as they have between the pay-per-views, it's not much like they have a lot of options, especially with SummerSlam and Hell in a Cell coming up. So I don't know. It is a lot of rematches, and I don't see anything new. So I'm not. It seems like a filler pay-per-view match. It just seems like something to get in between the last one and then the next one because they're not establishing a solid base for this one. It's almost like it's just kind of setting up for the next one.
And the sad thing is they have a solid base in place, the vacant WWE Championship, and I'm not sure. I don't know if they mentioned the WWE Championship last Monday on Raw. Patrick O'Dowd, I don't really think they mentioned it a whole lot. It wasn't a focus of the show. It was still more of the power trip and all the manipulation that's going on with Triple H. And hopefully the belt won't be...
Yeah, not at all.
So I'm hoping the belt won't be too much of an
action.
We'll see. But it's like Heather said, it's a three-week cycle between these pay-per-views. I think they vacated the WWE Championship versus giving it back to Randy Orton to make this pay-per-view more enticing and then kind of let their foot off the gas on that one and focused on some other things. We do have CM Punk versus Ryback. I mean, that's supposed to be fresh, right?
I mean,
from a year ago.
It's newish just in the sort of, in the sense that it's a side view to the Paul Heyman feud. Last pay-per-view after Night of Champions, I remember the overwhelming complaint being that Night of Champions felt like a glorified Raw. If that felt like a glorified Raw, this three-week in-between to this pay-per-view, I think that's sort of the feeling I'm getting now, is that this transition pay-per-view and the way this schedule is playing out, it is really, like, the reason we're going to get a lot of familiar matches is because we're still in a transition show to the next major pay-per-view, like the next real pay-per-view. I think Punk and Ryback's been gone long enough to freshen up a little bit, in a way that maybe Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton is a little less exciting.
Well, it's funny too, because this is setting up to be one of those pay-per-views that we're pleasantly surprised by, because we'd expect so little out of this thing. We don't expect much.
Well, yeah, lowered expectations make it easy, yeah.
Yeah, it does. It definitely does. So, we're going to get Sue Young in here momentarily, so I want to make sure that we're prepared for that. So as we kind of head into Raw this Monday, I mean, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. We know three matches. We don't know a whole lot else. I'm sure Heather wants to know what Dolph Ziggler is doing on the pay-per-view. So there's plenty that we need to do on this one. I want to give Sue...
Are they facing Ambrose against the title? Or did they have
he faced him on SmackDown, and it turned into a six-man tag team match. I think we, again, that's the rematch perspective of this pay-per-view. We just kind of assume, for the second straight pay-per-view in a row, we're just assuming that match is going to take place, and they will probably end up announcing it. However, it's probably, you know, going to be too little, too late, at least on the build part of things.
You don't think that the Rhodes family is going to get involved somewhere in this pay-per-view?
That's true. I mean, there's talk about the Rhodes family
like
versus the Shield.
That would,
you're
my
right.
Thought.
Well, let's hold. You know, we'll have a moment to talk about that. We will definitely get there. However, we need to reunite two people, even though they just met for the first time this weekend. Of course, that music does
How
mean that's
it...
right.
Oh, man.
There she is.
Oh, my gosh, Sue, it's been so long. I don't know
what
I'm going to do.
I miss your face.
No! I was like, Sue, no.
Patrick O'Dowd, I just want to point out, Sue hasn't been on the show in weeks, and the only person she missed was Heather.
Yeah.
No,
that's
not true. That's not true.
No, don't backpedal now. It's okay. You said
no,
how you feel.
No, she told me she loved you. She told me she loved you both.
Mm-hmm.
I do very, very much.
That's not cool.
See, I think you're just covering for her. Heather. I really
yeah,
do.
That's,
I really
that's the easy answer. Yeah. What's she really supposed to say?
I've been neglecting you guys. I feel really bad. It's been a long time. It's been too long. I'm sorry.
It's been so long that we have new sound bites you don't even know about. Like it's
you guys do have new sound bites.
Yeah, we do.
Didn't we change the name of the show for Sue and then she stopped being on the show? Isn't that what happened?
I wasn't even going to go there.
Oh, I went there. We weren't missed.
You
right?
went there.
Damn.
My face wasn't right. missed.
No. She missed Heather's face. The one that you said needed beauty sleep earlier in the program.
I'm just saying, every one of us needs beauty sleep. Some more than others.
I did need a lot more than you guys. I'm sorry.
No, Greg's an ugly man. I'm just saying. Like, I've seen him.
You don't even want to go in that direction. We have proof from days prior, Patrick O'Dowd, of you. We'll save that for another conversation. That's all I'll say.
But there
was a conference and somebody bought drinks for one member of this program and not another and caused you to make an admission. So and you weren't even drunk. That's okay. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, that's
okay.
What it was.
Because we have a pay-per-view to talk about.
Yes,
so,
we do.
We don't have much of a pay-per-view to talk about. That's why we can sit here and banter back and forth. But we do have some matches to get into. And let's start, you know, as a tradition would have it on this program, we tend to start our pay-per-views with the World Heavyweight Championship match. It's our opening match, as it sometimes is for the WWE. And that is the Hardcore Rules Affair for the World Heavyweight Championship with Alberto Del Rio defending against Rob Van Dam. Patrick O'Dowd, I will allow you to start. Tell us about the match. What do you think is going to happen?
So what is this, the third time they've faced each other?
Maybe.
I think at this point, like, Rob Van Dam beat him once when it wasn't for the title. Del Rio beat him when it was for the title. You know, here we are, Hardcore Rules, Alberto Del Rio, who is the slimy heel. I don't see Rob Van Dam winning the belt. I don't. I think that this might be the time when our faithful manservant decides to, you know, show his true colors and maybe whack Rob a good one so that he can't actually win the belt and realigns himself back with Alberto Del Rio. So I'm going to say that, Del Rio goes over Rob Van Dam, and that this time I will say that there is going to be some shenanigans that come from it. Why can't I remember his name?
Ricardo Rodriguez?
Ricardo Rodriguez. I don't know why. I totally blanked on him. I'm like, what it, I know him, manservant. That's all I could come up with.
Virgil?
That's it. Like, that's all I had. Virgil.
That is all you had. That's okay. That is quite all right. Heather.
Yeah.
That's just me telling you to talk.
Yeah. Oh, really? I don't know. It seems like, it's going on. It might be going on a little too long. So if this isn't setting up for Ricardo to turn, then it's setting up for Van Damme to win the title. However, if he does win the title, I don't think he's going to keep it for a long time. More of a title, one of those in-betweeners that holds it for maybe one or two pay-per-views, if that, or even for a couple Raws, and either lose it back to Del Rio or they decide who else they want to push and crown, their new champion. But it's something we've seen before. It's something I'm sure we'll see again down the road. And as much as I love seeing Van Damme back and Del Rio's gotten a lot better with time, it's not something I necessarily want to see again.
So what's the official prediction?
I don't know. Ricardo, I'm hoping he proves me wrong with the Ricardo heel turn. Looks like a good prediction.
Okay, so you're going Del Rio then.
Excellent.
We lost Sue Young and we got her back. Sue, are you back?
I am back.
Beautiful. We're talking about, I don't know when you were lost, unfortunately.
We're talking about the title match, Alberto Del Rio versus RVD, am I right?
You are most certainly right. So what do you think, and who are you picking?
I'm hoping that RVD brings some ECW up in this mix, and he takes that belt home. As much as I like the storyline going on between Alberto Del Rio and RVD, how amazing would that be if RVD actually came home? Because this is a hardcore, title match, isn't it?
Yes, hardcore rules, as they're going with. But you haven't used the hardcore for...
This is going to be amazing. I really hope that, deep down inside RVD, becomes a new, champion. But if it really comes down to it, the way I see it happening, something's going to happen between Ricardo Rodriguez and Alberto Del Rio, and it's just going to be beautiful. I think this match is going to be amazing. But if I were to predict, I really hope it's RVD.
Sue is so positive. I should have had Sue on when we were talking about Dixie Carter. I really should have.
Yeah,
I really should
wow.
have.
How amazing
funny.
Would that be, ECW style? That'd be so sick. Well,
and they should really play that up more, because that is the strength of this match, and that is the strength of Rob Van Dam, and they're not. They really should play that up more. I'm with Sue Young, and I'm picking Rob Van Dam to win this match and capture the World Heavyweight Championship, which is odd, because as nobody has brought up, there are reports that Van Dam's 90-day deal is up on October 1st. And Van Dam will be done with the WWE. He'll probably, or he's working in 90-day spurts, as it were. So he's getting a break after this, and he'll be back. So if you believe those reports, there's no way he should win the World Heavyweight Championship. The reason why I believe that Rob Van Dam is going to win the World Heavyweight Championship is because Damian Sandow is going to cash in his briefcase. And you ready for this? This is the bold prediction that
in the wild card.
This is the bold prediction that will never come true. Ricardo Rodriguez will become Damian Sandow's personal ring announcer either Sunday or Sunday. And that will cause Damian Sandow to become the new World Heavyweight Champion after he cashes in his Money in the Bank contract. As soon as we start
for if you're right, this needs to be gloated about all on Twitter.
Oh, my God, of course it will be. That's a given. Because it's so far out there, and I'll admit that it's so far out there, but I love to throw out the what I could see happening, but I should put my money where my mouth is. RVD wins, Sandow cashes in successfully, and I'll even add that Ricardo Rodriguez turns and joins Damian Sandow. There's your 0%, Patrick O'Dowd.
I'm not going to say 0% because I do believe that Sandow has now lost 50 matches and won 2 since he took the briefcase. So, of course, it makes sense that he would cash in and be our world champion. And it's funny, I kind of want the briefcases to go away so that you can stop predicting that it gets cashed in at a pay-per-view. Like
I was right about
the plan,
wasn't
it? Well,
I was right about
predicted it. Well, how many did you predict before SummerSlam, Greg? Let's be real.
Because SummerSlam, the first pay-per-view after Money in the Bank, so there weren't that many that I could predict. By the way, for those of you who are listening and have radio shows, because I know you are, and I know you do, and maybe your prediction special is on like Wednesday, and you're going to bust out that prediction.
You're welcome.
There you go. Oh. Moving along to the aforementioned CM Punk versus encounter, Sue Young. Let's let you begin.
I'm sorry, say that one more time. I couldn't hear you. My phone's kind of breaking up. I'm
it's
on
okay.
the road right now. If no one notices,
they just assumed you were. Okay.
Yeah, we both are on the road right now. So if my phone goes out, I'm really sorry.
In fact, Heather's car just passed Sue's car while we were doing all this. It was great.
Yeah, right.
Your thoughts?
We're
those
putting our predictions up on the wall, like on the window. Like we're like, do you think this one or this one?
They're trying to be different. I appreciate that. More than Patrick and I put into the show, so that's wonderful.
Yeah.
The match is
CM Punk versus
Ryback. Yes.
Ryback. I want to say CM Punk all the way. He's been on a crazy roll, and I understand like Heyman's been a part of the whole ordeal, but I want to see the chase continuing. So maybe somehow Ryback winning, but ultimately CM Punk winning. So for this match, I'm hoping that, like, of course I want CM Punk to win, but I have a feeling Ryback's going to win.
All right, so we got vote.
For Ryback.
One vote for Ryback. Yep, one vote for Ryback. Heather.
I see Heyman playing a lot into this match. I see that it's like the same match it was last time, but it's reversed, obviously, the roles. So I see Heyman playing into this. I see maybe, I wouldn't say Lesnar coming back, but somebody's definitely going to come into this, as far as maybe Curtis Axel. Isn't he supposed to debut a new girl anytime soon?
It was teased,
so
yeah.
I can always go with that. But I don't know, I'd say maybe CM Punk by DQ, and I don't think it's going to be a clean pin.
There you go. So officially, CM Punk. The wrestling realist, Patrick O'Dowd.
If CM Punk wins this match, does he get anything in regards to Paul Heyman?
Not at this point. However, we still have a Raw to go.
So, with the caveat that unless something changes on Raw, I think CM Punk wins because there's not any... Paul Heyman's not at risk. So you can have him win and keep the story going in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
To where he's still chasing after Heyman because he doesn't actually, like, there's no, like, he gets Heyman in the ring. There's no cage involved to trap him. Like, I think that as long as that's part of the match, then Paul Heyman would win. Or, I'm sorry, CM Punk will win.
And see, it's funny that you bring that up because I'm standing by my prediction that it will be Paul Heyman versus CM Punk at Hell in a Cell, just to allow Punk to have Heyman in a situation where he can't get rid of him, probably leading to Lesnar coming back or some other person debuting or something like that, because Triple H has already shown that despite being a heel, he has no affinity towards Heyman, Curtis Axel, Ryback, any of them. So I could see Triple H putting Heyman in that position with CM Punk. I think it's just going to be simple booking. I think Paul Heyman's going to cost CM Punk the match. I think that CM Punk is going to lose and Ryback will win. However, CM Punk will come out strong in the end so that he can finally get his hands on Paul Heyman at Hell in a Cell, probably leading to a Brock Lesnar return, probably leading to CM Punk being disappointed that he can't wrestle Lesnar until WrestleMania time rolls around. So, official prediction for me is Ryback. And the only other match announced for this pay-per-view officially is the WWE Championship. The title is vacant. It will once again be Randy Orton versus Daniel Bryan. Heather, we'll start with you.
Well, what's Mr. Vacant going to play in this title match? I want to know, because his Twitter didn't seem very happy about it at all. Besides that, let's see. Do we want to go the old corporate way and have you know, DB lose so that they can continue with the face of the company. But I don't know what they're trying to pull with, you know, punishing the Shield, punishing Orton, and all this, trying to make it seem like it's fair. But I think it's just a farce, and they're going to end up, you know, having Orton win again. But at the same time, I can also see where they would have DB win, kind of like when Punk finally won the title, and then, you know, parlay it into a nice title run where he's not the face of the company, and, you know, everybody gets annoyed and wants to chase him, and Triple H, of course, is mad, and maybe try to work something out where DB is either untouchable or has help, and finally ends up saving a lot of the other guys, or not saving them, but, you know, so that they don't have to be scared to speak out and stuff. So I would say I'd like for DB to win and get the title. I think he deserves it. But this one is like, it could go either way for me.
So what's the official choice, though? You got to pick one. We don't have to pick one. You could go with a no winner. You could predict a non-finish of some sort.
I predict Daniel Bryan wins.
There we go. Daniel Bryan is your official winner. Patrick O'Dowd.
I'm actually going to lean towards somehow Randy Orton's going to win. I think that the setup that we had two weeks prior, where Stephanie did the whole "I want this Randy Orton," you know, the Viper, "I want the ruthless Randy Orton." He's now showing that. So he's trying to give Stephanie and Triple H what they want, which will then, you know, in my opinion, then lead to him once again getting the title because he is who they want them to be.
Sue?
I think that somehow it's going to be better for business for Randy Orton to be winning this match. Somehow, some way, I feel like Daniel Bryan's going to be the guy that, you know, it's going to obviously look like he has it in the bag, and then out of nowhere, it's just going to be reversed by Triple H because it's just better for business, right?
Yeah, according to the storyline, it could definitely be better for business. Because I'm just such a predicting fool this time around, I tipped my hand a moment ago when I made sure that when it was an option. I don't think there's going to be a winner to this match. I think this is, as Patrick and Heather both put it earlier, this is a transitional pay-per-view, and I think it's going to go the full-bore transitional pay-per-view to where it really is just leading to the next pay-per-view and the fact that there won't be a winner. I think there'll be some big, giant fight. I think all the guys that helped Daniel Bryan are going to show up. The Shield's going to show up. Remember, Triple H took the Shield under the bus last Monday on Raw. Who knows where the Shield is at in all this? I honestly think that it's going to get bad. It's going to be unsatisfying. People are going to be mad. They're going to be pissed off. Everybody's not going to care because they'll still order the next pay-per-view, or at least the ones that don't order will be negligible. I don't think there's going to be a winner, and that's what I think will set up Hell in the Cell, where it has to be one-on-one between the two guys, or at least pretty much has to be one-on-one between the two guys. So my official prediction is probably the least likely scenario, no winner. Nobody walks away with the WWE Championship on this night, which is probably not the best way to end your pay-per-view, but I do see that's just how it's going to go. So
I really don't think that's a bad prediction at all, dude. Like, I just hate calling a non-finish.
I know. Me too.
I feel dirty.
You do feel dirty. You feel Patrick Dow feels dirty, everybody. Just want to point
little
out.
Naughty.
Little naughty.
Naughty Patrick.
That's right. That's me.
Yeah.
Hey, naughty Patrick might become a soundbite right there. That
hey.
Was... That was good stuff. That's going to be a soundbite right there. Just love when The Rock takes off at the end of that soundbite. That's my favorite part of that soundbite. And you know, I like to play soundbites.
That's what I do!
So there we have it. Battleground. Only three matches. Obviously, there's going to be some more things added to the show. Anybody, do you think... I'll start. We'll ask this one flat out because it's been so rumored, and we'll start with Sue Young. Do you think we're going to get a Rhodes Family versus the Shield match at the pay-per-view, Sue Young?
How
amazing would that be? I hope so. I vouch yes. I want that to happen. I'm putting positive spirits towards that. Please. Please.
Patrick.
I see yes.
I think 2/3 of the Rhodes family will compete. I don't know that Dusty will be involved, but I'm feeling fairly confident that we're going to get Dustin and Cody. Gold Dust and Cody.
Would it then be a handicap match, or would it just be against two of the Shield?
I wonder if it's them and Dolph against the Shield.
Not bad at all. I could see. I think they have a sister that can maybe get involved. I don't think there's any more Rhodes sons that could get involved. So I don't really want to see Dusty wrestle. Heather, what about you? Oh, we actually lost Heather.
Way to go, dude.
No, normally we lose. This time we lost Heather. That's the joys of traveling for everyone right there. So I will just answer the question and I will say that I do believe that match will be added. It's probably going to be the obvious route, which would be the handicap match. However, you just never know. Ziggler just doesn't make sense, but they could very easily explain it in one episode of Raw.
It's a face dynamic. They're all tangling with the Shield right now. There's plenty of ways that it could go there. And that's not a hard match to create, I don't think.
No, nothing's hard match. They've really built these pay-per-views so fast. I mean, even United Champions was built pretty quickly at the end there. So, yeah, they could pretty much do anything. We got Heather back, and I'm very excited about that. So, Heather, we're talking about
here.
If we could... I know, we missed you. You were gone. Not as long as Sue was gone, but you were gone. But now you're back. We're talking, will we get the Rhodes family versus the Shield in some capacity at... what's Battleground? I almost forgot the name of the pay-per-view.
Well, are we going to see that then? Or the Hell is a Cell where they can do it in a cell?
No.
I don't know if they're going to put that match on Battleground to see how it's so close. Maybe, yes, and then with the interference or something, and then turn it into a Hell is a Cell match. But I really do think this is going to be more of an interim pay-per-view to build up for Hell is a Cell.
No, I agree. I agree with you. That's why I don't think we're going to have a winner in the main event. So we shall see. Anything? Can they add anything exciting to this pay per view, or is everything else going to be filler in the rest of the card? Heather, we'll give you first stab at that one.
Do you really want my answer on that? Because I'm pretty sure you know that one.
Well, I do know that one, but I want everyone else to know that one too.
No, because, you know, I've got to interview somebody coming up, and I don't want to look stupid. I don't know. Ziggler and Ambrose for the title for Ziggler to actually win. But you know what? I'd like to see Ziggler, Kofi, and Ambrose in a three-way or something, because I think Kofi's been busting his ass and deserves a title shot. And what else is it going on? I'm sure they'll have a stupid Divas match on there that's going to be horrible and nobody's going to want to watch. Unless Natalya wins the belt, which is the only way that I'll actually be happy. Or if AJ keeps it. Just please don't put it on one of the other ones. And, I don't know, just give us something besides filler material.
Patrick O'Dowd, what do you think?
I think that both the matches that Heather just laid out there are probably more than likely to happen. I don't know if we'll get a tag match, but the Usos aren't really doing anything. Either are the primetime players for that matter or something like that. It could be one that we get thrown out. Plus you never know, what Santino's going to do. I mean, we got to have that stupid snake charmer thing going on. So. I'm sure that could, like, it's so challenging. We've already hit this once to get excited about this pay-per-view. Like we're treading water right now for the next big one. And so really it's kind of anybody's game.
Yeah, and I think the company's not even doing a good job hiding that we're treading water for the next one. And I think that's part of the problem. They're not even building upon the things that are great, like the hardcore rules aspect of the World Heavyweight Championship match. And of course, everyone loves CM Punk. So, Sue Young, and anything exciting that you think they can add? I know you're being super positive, which we need. So,
I think that with all the matches that they have, it's obviously building up towards something huge. And if there was, like, I want to say, a positive vibe upon the Divas division, I'm really hoping that they put, like, Stephanie McMahon versus AJ upon the views of, you know, because what's better for business, and then have it be, like, something along the lines of an Attitude Era feel, which would be amazing, in my opinion, if we could do something along those lines, what we can see, you know? But honestly, like, I just feel like this is just something building up for something huge coming up. That's how I feel. Like, everything is just going to be building up to one big explosion.
Yeah. No, I agree. This is transitional in nature, and when you're building a long-term angle, which they are with Triple H and Stephanie at the helm of the company, this isn't even going to necessarily be resolved at say Survivor Series. I really think this is, we're looking at this for the future, and this is kind of the new WWE, so to speak. And it really has. If you look back before SummerSlam, they really got the reset button. A lot of things have changed, and very little exists outside the realm of this main storyline. So I don't think they're going to add anything that's going to be particularly exciting. I do think they're going to add some stuff just to obviously fill the card. I think we could even get a match or two that happened that aren't even announced on the show. And I don't think the fact that they haven't announced much is going to change how many people order this pay-per-view. I think it's still going to be one that people are going to order just because they order pay-per-view. It probably will deliver a lower number than whatever was expected last year, and there's really nothing wrong with that. They're still going to make money, and maybe the stock price will go down, but we really shouldn't care too much about that. It shouldn't affect what we do. So before we move on and do an interview, Sue and Heather, you were in the same place at the same time more than one this week. So you picked up yet another win at Shine Wrestling. I feel like the yellow fever is sort of sweeping the Shine Wrestling Nation, so to speak.
Yep, it's amazing. I feel like, I don't know, I just feel like there's such a new, like, I put on a different pair of shoes and I just slowly became a new Sue Young.
Yeah, and you definitely got a lot going, which I definitely think is a great thing. You know, Rain, of course, has said she's going to retire by the end of 2013. Would you love to get that one-on-one title shot with her before her time is up?
Of course. I think that's a lot of people's agenda, especially, you know, to defeat the first ever Shine Women Wrestling champion. That would be an accomplishment in many people's books, because if Rain is planning on retiring, having that on your notch, become like defeating the Shine Women's Champion, like that would be amazing. Not many people can say that either, especially if she retires.
It's true. No, it's 100% true. So I do like it. How was Ring Warriors? Both of you guys, give us an update on the Ring Warriors and how that went. How did Heather do, Sue? She was ring announcing. How'd she do? Give us your honest assessment.
Heather, well, let me say this. Heather put on a very beautiful dress, and she also announced very wonderfully tonight, and she looked great. And when I first saw her, and I just, like, you look very beautiful tonight. I said that to her today. And from when I watched her announce and I was listening to her, it was amazing. I think she did a tremendous job today. She represented the DeMarquettes very well.
Oh, you're going to make me blush, Nelson. Thank you. Yeah, no, I had so much fun doing it. It was kind of a last-minute thing. An issue with the other ring announcers, so I volunteered my services because, like, well, hell, it gives me something to do, and I wanted to do Ring Warriors, and
I really like the people there. I like the whole setup and everything. So for me, it was a lot of fun to do. And to be able to get out there and you know, stand in the middle of the ring and introduce, you know, a lot of really, really great wrestlers. It was a lot of fun. And I didn't get to announce Sue's match, though, and I was, like, bummed about it, but I got to watch it, so that's a good thing.
No, you're exactly right. You got to watch it. And who wouldn't want to watch a Sue Young match? I know Patrick O'Dowd would love to see a Sue Young match in person, and who would blame him for wanting to do that? So,
I would.
Wonderful. Well, here's
one
what we're going to want to do real
one
quick. Oh, it'll happen. It will definitely
happen.
I mean, Sue Young is everywhere. She's, you know, Evolve is sticking around in the Northeast, so it could be perfect there. There will be opportunity. What I'd like to do real quick for maybe like 2 or 3 minutes, I need to go away and get the guest. Heather, if maybe the three of you could chat just briefly about the big interview that you have scheduled for 2 weeks from now on this program. You know, Sue had the opportunity to work with that person as he was around when she was there. And chat up a little bit. We'll be right back with our guest. And just listeners know, Sue and Heather are traveling. We'll allow them to depart at that point, and what we will continue with the Greg DeMarco Show. So talk some Briley, and I'll be right back.
Okay, so in 2 weeks, on the 13th, we do have Mr. Briley Pierce for, so, you know, he goes by Ryan Nemes as well on his new book coming out and his old book that he has written. And he's our special guest on October 13th. And I look forward to hearing him talk. And you were there on after Shine Saturday night.
Yes.
Or Friday night. And it was hilarious.
Yes. He is a very entertaining man.
Yeah, he was. He is quite funny. Has a lot of jokes. But he's extremely smart, so it's nice to hold the conversation with him because he's totally, it's not like where you're talking to him and you're just like, oh my God, I can't talk to this person. He's smart, he's intelligent, but he's extremely funny and he knows how to make you laugh. So I look forward to having him on. There's things to ask him and see what he's planning. He's, you know, his moves and his new book coming out and what he wants to do with the rest of his life.
That's going to be awesome. It's going to be a great interview. And not only that, but he's very creative, too.
Oh, I know. And I've seen some of his stuff.
Yeah.
Patrick, what do you think?
Well, I like, full disclosure, I really don't know what he's up to lately. I'm going to have to take their word for it because I don't have the research yet. So, which is funny because people are talking about, I was doing some research on his brother and his win-loss record after winning Money in the Bank. So, I think it's always fun. Anytime you get to see somebody who's been a part of the national stage, as well, even if it's NXT or, as high up as the WWE, I think that it's always great to learn about their experiences. Probably my favorite part of doing these shows is getting, meet and talk to wrestlers and really, see what it is that their experience in the quote unquote big time has been. And then where they go from here, comedy seems to be a big thing that you hear about wrestlers doing outside of this or, writing. That's, something that I think any one of us can appreciate. So I think it'll be a good time. I think it'll be a lot of fun. And now we have silence. I was like, did Greg hang up on you two again? Like, honestly.
I don't know. No, I'm here. Well, I'm here. Did he hang up on us?
No, I don't know. I'm assuming he's getting the guest. Sue, are you still with us? See, now I'm...
I don't know.
Did
we lose Sue?
We may have lost Sue. It happens.
Oh, no.
You know, that's the thing is Greg's so damaging to the show, even when he leaves the show, things go wrong. He hangs up on people. It's unbelievable.
The nerve of Greg. How dare he?
It doesn't matter what you think!
Now he's back.
Greg? Are you just soundbiting us to spite us? Like, what's going on?
It's not Halloween yet, Craig.
He's
it
watching.
Hurt so bad. It really did. Like, I was just listening, and I wanted to cry. It was bad. Sue did drop, by the way. While I was gone, Sue did drop. As I get the little update saying caller has dropped. So,
dude,
we did lose.
That if you actually had feelings.
And we'll probably allow her to be lost. I have feelings, Badger Go Down. I am a man with emotions, a man with feelings, and I'm hurt now. I want you to know that.
Right.
I'm seriously hurt. I need to pick me up.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
See,
I'm good.
I didn't think that
was
the one you were going to go
never
with.
Do anything when I say I love
there
you.
There wasn't
Dave.
What?
Oh, I just thought you were going to go with the Scarlet one. That I
well, until
know.
Now you said it. No, I went with the buggy one. I went with the buggy one. Heather, you've actually never said that before, despite numerous attempts, Well, maybe in a tweet, or not a tweet. Maybe
many times.
You have. I'm talking about on the air. I'm talking about on the air. That was the first one on the air, and it might be soundbite quality. I'll have to go back and listen and see. If not, I'm sure there'll be plenty of other opportunities. So Sue did text me, by the way, with a big, oh, no. She feels bad about getting dropped again. It is the surge. Driving. You guys know what it's like when you're driving. Sometimes calls get dropped.
I know. I'm driving, too. It's crappy.
See, exactly. So, Heather, we'll bring you back on next week. We'll see what happens on the pay-per-view. Have plenty of opportunity to talk about it. How much longer is left in your journey home?
Actually, not that much. We are, 20 minutes? Yes, maybe 20 minutes now.
Wait. Excellent. Call back in. No, I'm just kidding. You don't have to call back in. I'm joking. But
I'm crashing. I'm tired.
No, I don't blame you. And you've been on the go all day and even all weekend. So, Heather Lynn, we will talk to you next week.
Okay. I'll see you guys later. Bye, Patrick. Bye, Greg. And I love you, Greg.
I'll see you now. That right there, Patrick. That's a soundbite. That
yeah,
is a soundbite.
Everybody loves Greg. Everybody loves Greg. Blah blah
see,
blah.
Oh,
now I'm just being jealous and pouty.
Aw, Puddin.
Yeah, that's just, it's okay. You can be jealous
and
pouty. You are a strong man, Patrick O'Dowd. I don't think people understand how strong you are. They don't know the Patrick O'Dowd that I know, Patrick O'Dowd, and the strength.
You have a vagina.
Thank you, CM Punk. However. Why should we sit here and talk about Patrick O'Dowd having a vagina when we have the return of the DeMarquette who delivered the largest ever live listening audience for the Greg DeMarquette show?
It's time!
That is the beautiful and talented and 100% natural, as we established last time on the Greg DeMarco show, Nikki St. John. Nikki, thank you so much for joining us. DeMarco and Nikki John, welcome back to the Greg DeMarco Show.
Thanks for having me on the show. I like the entrance there, the return of Nikki St. John. It sounds like a Star Wars movie.
Nikki St. John strikes back.
That'll be the next show. That'll be the next one, right?
That'll be the next show. Revenge of the Nikki. I don't even know how we can do that one. You're better at this than I would be, Patrick O'Dowd. This is more your topic than me.
Yeah, I don't know if I would have gone with Revenge of the Nikki. I mean, it's more of like a return of, if you're going to go with the Star Wars thing.
Exactly.
Wasn't there what was the Sith movie? Like, wasn't there a Revenge of the Sith?
There was a Revenge of the Sith, but really, are you saying that she's coming back because we like, I don't know, we shouldn't be asking, we shouldn't be doing anything that causes her to want to get revenge? Has she brought in the most listeners?
This is true. Duly noted.
And I certainly do not want to be compared to the Sith. So.
She knows her stuff. I like
it. I know. This is good. This is good. And she wears glasses, Patrick O'Dowd. Remember, she wears glasses.
Oh, yeah.
This
glasses
is,
and asses.
Exactly. Nikki, your interview, affectionately referred to by me, proceeds as the glasses interview, just because of the subject matter that was at hand. And we will get there. Don't you worry. You know, we can't let the listeners down. I say we can't let the listeners down. This is purely for the enjoyment of Patrick and Greg DeMarco. That's really what the listeners just happen to listen. How are things going for you in OVW? Kind of give us an update. Obviously, when we were last on the program, you had really just began your tenure at OVW. That was back in June. Now, you know, here we sit almost October. 4 months later, how are things progressing for you there?
Things have been going really well. I'm kind of doing more of my own stuff. I still occasionally tag with Taylor. But I'm getting the opportunity to, you know, get out there and show people that I'm a threat as a singles competition, because obviously at OVW we don't have a women's tag title. So, you know, really what the competition comes down to is the singles. And I got to show people that I'm worthy of being the next champ. So it's great to get that opportunity. And they've got some new girls coming in. Unfortunately, Trina was injured, so we had a ladder match a couple weeks ago. Currently, Hannah Blossom is the OVW Women's Champ, and I think I got a shot at her, guys. What do you think? I mean, I know she's a Ju Marquette, but come on.
Aren't they all? I mean, really.
We have no problem with the Marquettes mixing it up.
No, I had to get over the DeMarket on DeMarket violence a long time ago. Even when there were like five or six that they got pitted against each other, and I just had no choice but to deal with it. I'm just glad I wasn't even sure which Blossom twin had the belt. I knew one of them had the belt, but maybe both of them did. I just like cupcakes, so I'm not really sure.
We all like cupcakes.
Of course we do. I mean, who doesn't? Who doesn't like cupcakes? Do you not like cupcakes, Patrick or Dad, or can you not like cupcakes?
I seem to remember somebody told me once when I was diagnosed with diabetes. They said, "Oh, I love this food," and you went, "No, you don't." But cupcakes are like the ultimate, like no food for a diabetic, man. Like
no. Ice cream filled cupcakes are the ultimate.
Yeah, I mean, sugar, yo.
That's true. That is true. Okay, you're right. I stand corrected. Nikki, you know, obviously with the volume of TNA releases, I know that the roster in OVW changed a little bit. Is it different now in OVW since all that went down?
It is a little bit different, but it's more or less the same thing. You know, with the releases, Taylor is the only one who is continued to wrestle at OVW. Which I think says a lot about her character, you know, that she just wants to be there. She wants to wrestle, you know, and she's still there to learn. So it's been a little bit different, but honestly, any company that you wrestle for, people are going to come, they're going to go, and you just roll with the punches. And I mean, you know, it's just the nature of this business. So it's been good. I mean, you know, you take the good with the bad, so it's unfortunate to see good people leave, but then, you know, that only leaves the opportunity to bring in other great people. So they had some girls in, you know, 2 weeks ago for a little tryout, and I'm really hoping, you know, Santana and Marty Bell could become part of the roster.
Yeah, Santana, interesting enough, I mean, she showed up at NXT. She's showing up in OVW. Like, I think, you know, I don't know. Maybe she's, like, the hottest free agent right now. Who knows? Maybe she'll go there. It's quite the move for her, given the fact that she's got the family in Florida. So we'll see. But I think, you know, it definitely is her time to step up and go somewhere, because she is very talented, like you were alluding to.
She's playing it smart. You know, she's throwing as much you know, pardon my French, but she's throwing as much shit at the wall as she can. You have to, right?
Oh yeah, no, you definitely got to see where it sticks, and no one can blame her. No one can blame her whatsoever. So, what kind of like how have you grown in the past 4 months? What do you think has really changed for you? Like, how have you developed as a performer now that you've got more time in OVW?
As a performer, I think I've learned more, a lot more as far as, like, strategically how to approach my opponents. You know, when you're young and you're excited, it's sometimes it's hard to kind of focus. And a lot of the training I've been doing the past couple of months has just been about that. It's about focus, about really just honing in on, you know, what you're gonna do to win. And sometimes, you know, with the excitement and the adrenaline that comes with a match, it's easy to just kind of get that overexcited feeling. So I'm really been focusing on, you know, learning how to kind of just settle down. I love to wrestle, so you got to keep yourself from getting overexcited. And for me, that's been my big focus lately, is focus, is, you know, going in there with a little bit more intent, I guess. So, and, you know, obviously keeping it aggressive.
All right. So Nikki, that all sounds very important, but I really have what I think is the most important question in regards to your development, Russell. So we talked about this last time, this whole business with the glasses and asses and all that. Do you ever feel the need to coordinate your glasses with your wrestling outfit?
You know, it's never crossed my mind, but it's a good, I think I like your thinking there. I mean, that could be pretty cute. I mean, but the unfortunate thing is, glasses break pretty quick.
Yes, they do.
So, you know, if I do coordinate them with my outfit, we'll see about how long that lasts.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could go full on, like, full contact sport glasses, like, you know, like Kareem used to do back in the day with the Lakers and all that. That'd be really uncomfortable looking and not cool at all.
Yeah, not really sexy.
But they wouldn't break. I'm just saying, if you're worried about broken glasses.
There are two parts to art, Patrick Redoubt, form and function. And
I
once
know,
you
dude.
Form, function is worthless.
There is that. So, you know, with the glasses and this whole idea of vision, have you ever thought about working glasses into your offense, maybe having something like a nearsighted press or hitting somebody with an astigmatism or something like that?
No, you know, that's never actually crossed my mind. I like it, though. I need to talk to you more. You give me great ideas.
I am the creative drive of the show.
You really are.
Right.
Oh, that's
great. Yes, you are. Yeah, props to you, Patrick O'Dowd. Props to you. For reading questions that I wrote. Props to you. I wasn't going to say that. I wasn't going to say anything. I was going to let you have that one, Patrick O'Dowd.
Yeah,
I was going to make a soundbite out of it. I still might make a soundbite out of it just for you.
The creative drive of the show.
Yes, well, that even before you said that, when she was saying she needs to come to you for more ideas, I was gonna let you have that.
Thanks.
Let you have that. So, as we put this interview together, this was Heather's contribution to the interview. However, she wasn't able to stick around for it. She wanted to talk more about the asses portion of the equation, because as we established last time on the show. You are 100% real. How many squats do you have to do per day to achieve that booty?
Oh, Lord. A lot. I did the 30-day squat challenge, and that starts with 70. And I worked up to 400, and I kind of stayed plateaued at 400.
You peak out at 400, most people die. So that's pretty impressive.
It's worth it, though, right? Don't you think it's worth it?
I'm going to say yes.
There's no argument on that part.
Oh,
like,
exactly.
That's not even really a question.
No, no, it was rhetorical, but we felt like we needed to give it an answer. No, we've established before. Patrick O'Dowd and myself were great admirers of your ass.
Don't do it like that, baby.
I mean, that's why you dress it the way you do. But I mean, the whole package. Like, what do you go through from a workout perspective to achieve what you achieve? Because, like we said before, you're 100% natural, no plastic surgery, none of that stuff. What do you put your body through to stay in as great shape as you're in?
Oh wow. How long is the show? Because I could go on for a while.
No, it's okay because you didn't lose most of your time to Sue Young like you did last time, so it's okay.
Exactly. Well. Honestly, guys, I do so much. I change it up a lot. But I try to do a lot of plyometrics, things that involve just using your body, natural body weight, pull-ups, push-ups, jumping jacks, burps, like all sorts of anything that could somewhat apply to like an in-ring conditioning, which is it's honestly impossible to duplicate the physicality of in-ring conditioning. But I do like the Insanity workout. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that kicks my ass. It's a great workout. I like to do that. I do lift. I try to not lift too much, but occasionally I'll do a little bit of cardio. I mix it up, guys. I do everything there is under the sun. And it's honestly not just for the physique. It's a health thing. You're diabetic, Patrick. Well, I'm hypoglycemic. So I'm like pre-diabetic. So I do everything I can, to keep myself in the best physical condition. And I mean, when you look good, you just feel good. I honestly love working out. So when I go to the gym, I'm always looking for something new and fun to try and challenge myself.
Now, don't you work around, I mean, for your outside of wrestling job, aren't you around food an awful lot?
I am around food.
So how does that play into the fact you're hypoglycemic and you want to feel good and look good?
It takes a lot of willpower. It's a lot of willpower. I mean, I have my days. Everybody has to have their days where you kind of let yourself go and, I'll go to IHOP or something fun like that. But it's just willpower, I don't think anything on earth tastes as good as looking good can feel. So,
That's pretty poignant there, Patrick O'Dowd. That's almost like Zen-like. Right there. I'm not gonna lie. Last time Patrick O'Dowd and I went to IHOP, I got an egg white omelet. So, I feel you there. So, enough talk about food, though. I know Patrick O'Dowd actually wants to talk about wrestling. You know what happened? We lost Patrick O'Dowd for some reason.
We lost
him. He is gone from the show. I'm sitting here and I'm messaging him, and he's not responding, and he is gone. So we will get Patrick O'Dowd back, but I will.
It might have been the food talk.
Maybe it was the food talk. It's okay, though. He could not allow himself to be away from you for so long. He is already back. Missed you, Patrick O'Dowd. I don't even know how long you're gone.
All that talk about willpower and everything, I had to go, stick cupcake for a minute. No, just kidding.
Damn you!
That was the weirdest thing, by the way. Like, I'm sitting there, I'm like, the interview's going along, everything's happening. All of a sudden, I hear the Skype hang-up noise, and I'm like, oh, that's not good. So sorry about that.
It's weird for me too. When I was like, enough talk about food. Patrick was talking about wrestling.
I did. I wanted to talk about how OVW recently put on a 4-way ladder match to crown a women's champion. The first of its kind for the promotion. Is that what you were getting at, Greg?
I was.
Sorry. So, Nikki, do you think there's a whole world of possibilities that companies like the WWE and TNA aren't exploring for women in terms of like a 4-way ladder match? Like, that's not something I know that I've ever seen.
Oh, I think there's definitely a lot of possibilities. In a sense, that's kind of a good thing because that means that we haven't explored every avenue. And, you know, I personally would love to be a part of, like, historical matches like that, things that people have never seen, you know. So I think it's cool that we have these opportunities to explore that, you know, they're still out there. And, you know, someone like myself or Taylor or whomever, you know, if we work hard enough, we could be a part of that history. So I think it's great. You know, we have so much more left to explore, so many cool opportunities. And I mean, I had so much respect for all those girls. I thought it was a great match. And, you know, I mean, you got to respect that, right? I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
It was awesome.
So, I want to ask a follow-up in terms of talking about the WWE and TNA. Both companies lately, it seems like they do a lot of either hype or build-up for people that are coming in. So if you ever got a shot in either TNA or the WWE, what would be your ideal entrance? And would it be something that was set up? Would you want to just sort of run in a la like the Shield, or how would you want the world to see and remember that day that you debuted?
Wow, that's a really good question. I think sometimes with hype, you build it up to be something it's not. So for me, I'd really like to just have the opportunity to out of nowhere be there where people were like, who is that girl? And, you know, I want to remember her. I want to see her again, you know, because with hype, sometimes you just disappointed. So, and I know, you know, if I could just get out there and show people who I am and what I've got, nobody's going to be left disappointed. So I think little glasses and asses out of nowhere would make everybody happy, right?
It would definitely
make me
happy.
Look, it's going to stick, Thatcher Gerdaud. It's going to stick. You named Sue Young Fisher the Yellow Fever. We caused Dolph Ziggler to change his hairstyle once, and now
I forgot that we take credit for that one.
Of course, we take credit. We take credit. Before I know you have a follow up question you want to ask, but Nikki, as when you start hashtagging glasses and asses, just remember
you're welcome.
That's all.
Thank you so much.
See, and my last question really comes. So when we started this interview, we talked a little bit about you knowing your stuff. You've got the look. That shows that you've got a little bit of what I'd like to call nerd cred. I really want to know, is it an act, Nikki? Are you playing with us a little bit, playing with me as a very nice? Yeah, well, you can say that. Tell us where's your cred? Where does it lie?
I honestly am a huge nerd. It's real. It's not a work, guys. This
All
is
right,
who I
so,
am.
So what is the nerdiest thing?
Quizzer.
What is it?
What is my, like, nerdiest thing?
Oh, yeah.
I'm a really big Lord of the Rings nerd.
Oh. When?
Yeah, I love Lord of the Rings. I mean, I read the books 3-4 times. When the movies came out, I was there in the theater alone on opening night, like, I have to see this movie. And, I mean, I love the Dark Tower series. I don't know if you've ever read Dark Tower.
Oh, Stephen King. Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
I'm just a big sci-fi nerd. I love sci-fi. I love anything that could not happen in real life. I just love the thought of, you know. And, I mean, I'm a Star Wars geek. I love it all. It's where my heart is, so...
Very, very, very nice. Very nice. I gotta ask one last question since you brought up Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
Now, are you one of those, like, love the Lord of the Rings movies and series, hate the new Hobbit? because there's some really angry ringers out there these days just losing their minds over these Hobbit movies. Gotta know.
No, I don't think. I mean, let's be realistic. Like, J.R.R. Tolkien wrote those books in a completely different time. It was a completely different society. And with the technology that they have, I think that they're just trying to do the movies justice. And I think they did a pretty good job. I was happy with it. I mean, the one thing that got me, and it's not even in The Hobbit, was, like, they changed some scenes in the whole Lord of the Rings series and the movies where, like, they added, like, Arwen, you know, into the first movie.
Yeah.
She wasn't even in the first movie, you know, but they want to throw Liv Tyler in there to get that celebrity namesake, which I can understand. But, you know, little things like that kind of get to you when you know.
The river scene where like, they make it seem like she threw the horses at them. Oh.
Yeah, yeah, when really
cool.
It was Gandalf who did that.
Yup.
Exactly. But, you know, I was pretty happy with The Hobbit. I didn't think it was a bad movie.
Excellent. You've made my evening now, right there. That you truly proved that you have your nerd slash geek card. You flashed it with pride. Well done.
I'm glad I can make your evening.
did you have any did you want to ask her for some recommendations, Patrick or Dowd? Like, what I mean?
I don't know. I'm pretty damn nerdy. Like,
did you watch
you
the Shield, the Agents of the Shield?
Of course.
Did you like it?
I think it's a setup episode. Like, I think it's a very you know, you could definitely feel Joss Whedon's influence on it, and you could tell it was written by him. And I think that people had a lot of big expectations of what it was going to be, not really recognizing that it's a marathon, not a sprint. So I think that, you know, get a few episodes in and let it build some steam. But I enjoyed it for what it was.
I think it has great potential.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
I haven't watched it, I'll be honest with you. And I actually
I was like, Greg, you better ask another question or I will go full nerd.
Do it. You don't understand, Patrick. You know me. I want things that people can't get anywhere else. That's what we do. And joking around about her gorgeous ass. Look, no one else would do that either because they don't have the balls to. But this is what people enjoy, and people want to see another side of our guests. Do it, man. Go full bore nerd. Nerd out with each other. It makes me happy.
I don't even know where to begin with you if you open that Pandora's box up. Name two shows on the Sci-Fi Channel that you actually watched in the last 2 years.
I honestly don't really watch the Sci-Fi Channel.
See, there you go. I win.
You win. I'm sorry. I'm tapping out. I really don't. Like, what I'd watch, like, on TV. I mean, I like Sons of Anarchy. I like Walking Dead. I actually love
good show.
I love Duck Dynasty. I gotta admit.
I just can't do it.
See, yeah, there are many sides to Nikki.
Yeah, I believe it.
There are.
You know, I mean, if I turn, you'll see there are many sides. Let me nerd out for a minute, though. Like,
sure,
are you guys Halloween guys? Do you like Halloween?
Oh, who doesn't?
I love Halloween. I'm just a Halloween girl. I'm a Halloween baby. I have a birthday, you know, 10 days before Halloween. What are you guys going to be? Are you dressing up this year?
Well,
no.
Right now we're working on the kid because he's we're probably going to go pirates.
Okay.
That seemed to be where we last time. But I got really angry with Johnny Depp after about the second Pirates of the Caribbean movie. So I don't know that I'm going to go like Pirates of the Caribbean pirates.
Yeah, but more like original classic pirate.
Either original classic pirate or, I'm not going to lie, there's a comic book I used to read that was like pirates versus ninjas. And so they had like a ninja pirate that looked awesome.
That sounds awesome.
I know. Ninja pirates. How cool is that?
That is super cool.
And now I'm never going to be able to speak to normal people again.
Who needs normal people, though?
That's
you know?
Right.
Oh, go ahead. No, you. Trust me. People care more about where you're going to be than anyone in my family.
Yeah,
so.
Can I let you know? I'm going to be.
Yeah.
I'm going to be Laura Croft from Tomb Raider.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Okay, here's what I want. We need pictures.
Oh yeah, there will be pictures galore.
There will be pictures because you know I'm moving from 411 Mania to Wrestling Inc. I'm like doubling the size of my readership and an audience by doing that. And who doesn't want to see that? I mean, come on, that is so. For the record, I have a daughter who's going to be a butterfly fairy princess, as she terms it, and a son who will be a ninja again for the third year in a row.
He should be a ninja pirate, dude.
He doesn't cross the streams like that, Patrick Redown. He doesn't. He'd be a pirate or a ninja. You know, little Gio. This is what he does. Giovanni is one thing or another. It's not what he does.
There's no gray areas there.
No. He's seven. I mean, it's cut and dry with a 7 year old. So
definitely.
If I suggested ninja pirate, he'd be like, "No, Dad, I'm a ninja, not a pirate." Like, that's the answer that I would get from a 7 year old son. So
we got to work on this a little bit.
If you could find a ninja pirate in a comic and send it to him, like you do, he would probably be a ninja pirate, Patrick Redown.
Did you ask me to find a comic for your kid?
I'm not going to, so you might as well. I have no problem. We read comics.
That's too easy.
He and I read comics together, and they've all been sent to us by you. So, pretty much. I mean, that's just the way it goes. I told him he understands the principal rule in all comic books, and he will tell you there's always a girl. Like, he understands what – he knows how the world works. It's okay. Like, you've taught him about the world through comic books, Patrick Redown. Feel good about yourself.
I think that's a great way to learn about life, you know, comic books.
Yeah, they're more accurate than some people might think. You posted it out there in some social media, so I'm going to ask it. You are hitting a big birthday later this month, correct?
I am hitting the big 3-0.
See, I'm so glad you said the number before I did, because I would have felt bad if you didn't want us to. So you're hitting the big 3-0. How are you? Back on things, first 30 years of your life, how do you look back on them? How do you feel about them?
Oh, my goodness. That's a big question. I feel great about it. I mean, what?
We're going deep today on the Greg DeMarco Show. It's okay.
Yeah, we're getting deep here. Digging deep. I feel great about it. I mean, honestly, I'm not who I am or where I thought I'd be. But I think that's kind of a good thing. I'm really happy with some of the surprises that my life has had, you know, and I'm just excited to see what else there is. Like, you know, I just look back more on, like, the past decade. You know, I can't believe, like, you know, I'm going to be 30. When I think about it, I remember being 20 like it was yesterday. So, and you think about all the great things that happened to you just even in a decade. I'm really, really happy with, like, where I'm at in my life right now. And, like I said, it's been a surprise, which is really cool because you can't make plans and just expect them to all go the way you want them to. So I've been blessed enough to have really great things happen to me that I didn't plan. You know, some of my plans have come to term, other things I still want to explore. And like I said, I just think I've been really blessed with, like, a lot of great little surprises. And I can't wait and see what new surprises, you know, 30 has for me.
You know, because you said it, I mean, I would do a poor job if I didn't ask. So what did you see? What did you expect to have happen when you hit 30 that obviously hasn't happened? Like, where did you see yourself when you were first kind of looking ahead?
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, 10 years ago when I was 20, if you had said, like, hey, you know, where are you going to be when you're 30? I would have been like, oh, I'm going to have, you know, kids and I'll be married and, you know, just. I mean, honestly, I really didn't think that, you know, my career would be, you know, what it is right now. And You know, when you're 20, you think 30 is like so old. And then you get there and you're like, this is nowhere near old, you know? And I still feel like the exact same person, just wiser. And, I mean, I'm glad that life didn't turn out that way, because, you know, you wouldn't have glasses and asses if I was at home being a mommy.
No, this isn't. You definitely wouldn't. That's for sure. Pfizer Goodell and I are also we've been there for the 30 thing, and so we know. And you do think that 30 is so old when you're 20, and then when you pass 30, you realize, you know, they always joke that 30 is the new 20, but don't you feel that way right now?
I really do. I mean, it's kind of cheesy when you hear it, and you're like, oh yeah, whatever. And pink is the new orange too. It's cheesy saying, but it really is true, because, I mean, I think you're really as old as you feel. And I don't feel 30. I still feel the way I did when I was like 15. So.
Yeah, it's 100% true. I mean, you know, even Patrick O'Dowd, despite the diabetes, he probably feels younger now than he did years ago. I'm in better shape now than I was when I turned 30. So it's, you know, well, I look back as well and feel the same way.
Yeah, I mean, dude, we haven't really talked about this too, but the diet and the lifestyle change totally took years off of me. Like, it's crazy. And I've always had a really childish mind, so that was never a problem.
That's never going to change.
I am decidedly
like
immature.
Yes. Yeah, and that's okay. I think I bet Nikki is too. She hasn't fully let on to it, but I have a feeling she can joke around like a kid just like anybody else can.
I can. I try.
And that is okay. So it is your birthday, and we've got somebody chomping at the bit to come on air and wish you a happy birthday, and we've laid some rules. As Patrick O'Dowd knows, I don't normally like to do this, but, you know, would you be willing to take a phone call from someone that wants to wish you an early happy birthday?
Yes, I would. I'd love to.
All right. John from Rhode Island, let's hear it.
Happy birthday, Nikki, your songwriter.
Hi.
Hi. And you're so welcome for all your gifts that I just gave you. And I, by the way, have your card at home to mail for you next week.
Oh, great. Thank you so much. I love my shirt and my comic.
Oh, you're so welcome. And I was wanting to give you your birthday gift, but Greg, of course, said no for your birthday song that I had already.
I got
rules. But I'm sure you'll write it on my Facebook wall, right?
Yep, of course.
Awesome.
Everybody
can see it on there, and I'll be happy, and everybody will be happy. Thank you so much, John.
You're so welcome. And last thing before I go, what do you think you're going to want to hope for 2014, since we're already there almost?
What do I want to do in 2014?
Yeah, like what happens to you in the near future for wrestling to make your goal?
Well, I hope in 2014 that I make my debut as a Knockout.
The question is,
you gotta have high hopes, right? I got high hopes for that.
Yeah, that's what's gonna be my situation. I absolutely hope so too. Well, anyway, Nikki, I wish you the best of luck and hope to talk to you again soon. And I'll soon keep up your songs with you, and happy birthday for the 30th birthday.
Awesome! I'm gonna send you some 8x10s, okay?
Oh, great. Thanks. I'll keep
Thank
up with you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great week.
You too.
All right. See, look, he followed the rules. I'm proud of John. He did a good job. He did. Hey, when Taylor Hendricks was on, I do remember that John's phone call was more appropriate than our own Tony Acero's. So it's okay.
That's true.
John definitely did a good job there. Nikki, you mentioned sending John some 8x10s. I know, and I've seen it out there, your birthday is coming up, and you do have an Amazon wish list that if people wanted to send you something, they could definitely take advantage of.
I do. John bought me a tank top. And it said, don't be mad because I'm a little cooler. And it has a cooler on it. Little play on words there.
It's a little cooler on it. That's great. Nice. Patrick O'Dowd is hating my play on words secretly. And we're messaging back and forth. And you have a tank top that says little cooler on it. That's good.
Exactly. Yeah, so I do have my Amazon wish list. And, you know, I have some great fans that send me gifts throughout the year. And I'm so blessed to have, like, these awesome people that want to send me things. And I always, you know, reward my fans with an 8x10 or, you know, sometimes multiple 8x10s and, you know, give them my thanks for, you know, being so supportive because, honestly, you know, they don't need to do those things. And I just appreciate it so much. I'm so grateful to have people in my life that, you know, want to shower me with gifts, and it's awesome. So.
Excellent. Well, of course, and I know there's not like an easy link usually to find a gift list on or a wish list on Amazon. So I'm sure if they search it, they can definitely find that for you.
Yeah,
so.
If they just look it up, like just Nikki St. John. I don't think there's another Nikki St. John on there, but if there is, I do have a picture, so you'll know which one I am. I'm the one with the glasses and the ass.
Just nothing you can do right now. It's funny. It's really, you can never ever get away from that now, Nikki. It's just
that might have been
forever.
Hashtagged in connection to her name already.
Yeah, you may have done that, Patrick O'Dowd, which is great. So wonderful. Well, Nikki, you perfect, and we love having you on the show. Hopefully you get asked things on this program as a DeMarquette that no one has ever asked you, and no one ever will ask you again. If you go on a radio show and someone starts asking you about sci-fi stuff, you can. I want you to just point out the fact they've obviously listened to our program. That's all I'm saying is because, you know, Patrick O'Dowd.
That's gimmick infringement, and they know it.
Gimmick infringement. If that even happens, I will just put the kibosh on it. I'll be like, you know what? I'm sorry, but I already have my nerd buddy, Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, nerd life, man. I don't need that. I don't need other
That's
people.
Right. That's what I'm
nerd life. You have just gotten yourself a new gimmick with nerd life. Like that, you could, if you can rap.
It's like Thug Life, except not cool.
Exactly. Exactly. That is nerd life, though, however. So it's definitely on board there. But if someone brings it up on the radio show, let them have it. We don't worry about anyone else's show. If someone asks you about it, look, you can still credit Patrick O'Dowd, but still give it to them. Still give it to their audience because,
I'm just teasing.
Maybe they didn't hear it, and hey, maybe it can turn some more people on to you that weren't already there. Because if they're not there, they should be. If someone wants to find you on, say, the Facebook or the Twitter, how can they do that?
They can find me on Twitter at Nikki, Nikki _ STJ, short for St. John. That's Nikki _STJ. And then I'm also on Facebook. I have my regular Facebook page, which I'm more or less kind of filled up on friends there, so I'm not really taking friend requests. But you can check me out on Facebook under Nikki St. John. Otherwise, I do have a regular fan page, and you can follow me on there. And I'm always posting new pictures, updates on events that I'll be at. And, you know, I love sharing my life with people. You know, I've actually been to 2 weddings this month, and, you know, I go out and I have fun, and I love to share that with my fans and show them, you know, I'm a real person just like they are. So, you know, I love, the more the merrier. I love to have new followers and new fans and all that.
Excellent. So follow Nikki St. John. Go like the page on Facebook, and she is a real person, more real than ever before to the wrestling realist Patrick O'Dowd after today, and hopefully you've won over some more fans that way. So Nikki, you're awesome. Have a wonderful birthday later this month. I hope people have a great appreciation for the fact that you are as gorgeous as you are 100% naturally, which not a lot of people can pull off, and keep that up, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. I just wanted to give a shout out real quick to everybody. If you want to come see me as Laura Croft from Tomb Raider, I will be at Resistance Pro on October 25th. in Willowbrook at the Arabian Nights Barn. So come check it out. It's a Halloween show. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. So I hope I see people there. And otherwise, you know, thank you for all the birthday wishes, and thanks for having me on the show tonight, guys.
No problem. Do you know where they can get more information about the Resistance Pro show?
They can visit resistancepro.com. Otherwise, you can check out Resistance Pro on Facebook. Or, again, if you follow me on Twitter or Facebook, you know, I'm always updating people on events. So come check it out. We've been doing a lot of great stuff for charity along with our regular wrestling events. So we're having a lot of fun.
Yep, and that event is titled Welcome to My Nightmare at the barn at Arabian Nights Farms, 7:30. Also going to be taped for television. So another great
exactly.
way that you can see Nikki St. John there. So, and like you said, it's probably the first way to see the Lara Croft Tomb Raider outfit live and in living color, and nothing wrong with that. So people can definitely check that out.
All right, awesome. Thanks, guys.
No problem. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Nerd Life, Patrick.
Nerd Life.
Patrick, Dad, you're in love, aren't you?
That was beautiful.
That was beautiful. And I'm telling you, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Like this is why I do this, Patrick O'Dowd. Whenever you can have something like that, I definitely want you to be. That's why you're like, can I ask? I'm like, of course you can ask. Like,
I've gone off script before and gotten in trouble. You know, you're like a taskmaster with the whip. Sometimes I don't know when you're gonna crack it, and other times you're gonna be benevolent.
It's been a long time since I've done that, though. I mean,
that's
you.
True.
You're good at this now. We're both like we, not just you, but we have gotten so much better at what we do. Now, I'm sure the people listening right now, they're like, no, you both suck. But they can continue to think that because, you know, Nikki St. John likes us more than she likes them anyway. So, it's, you know, we're definitely in a spot right now. You know that you pretty much can do whatever you want right now. And even if you did something that I didn't like, I'll play a soundbite and then I'll probably forget about it 5 minutes later. So
that's true.
It is A-okay. So resistancepro.com, check that out for Nikki St. John. I may have forgotten that we were supposed to talk about that, but those things happen. So wonderful. Patrick O'Dowd, as normal, we're way off time.
It comes with the territory on this show.
But let's be honest, Patrick O'Dowd, for a worthwhile reason for you this week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
no,
we're off time because
yeah,
you were talking nerd stuff with Nikki St. John.
We invented nerd life.
You did invent nerd life, Patrick O'Dowd. Not only that, but I mean, and from my perspective, am I upset? No, we gave people something they will never ever get from any other program from Nikki St. John, and if they do, we did it first. So, and it will be, and no one would think to even ask those things. So it would be totally, because let's be honest, had she not brought up Star Wars at the beginning, who knows?
We'd have never gone there.
So, you know, again, that's why our show's the best. I will pat, but Patrick O'Dowd, you deserve all the credit for that right there.
Y'all wouldn't know entertainment if it slapped you in the face.
Let's talk some bullshit, Patrick O'Dowd.
Let's do it. So this week on the bullshit internet reports, there are actually two that caught my attention. The first one came out, caused a bit of news Monday morning, I do believe it was. Somebody from Sports Illustrated, and I can't remember the author, put out this report claiming that Eddie Guerrero's WrestleMania 20 match versus Kurt Angle and that victory was kept out of the video game. For those of you who don't remember, WWE's 2K14 video game is celebrating the 30 years of WrestleMania by allowing you to play what they're calling iconic matches from WrestleMania over the years. But the claim was that Eddie Guerrero's match was kept out because of his connection and his friendship with Chris Benoit, which is total, complete, and utter bullshit. Now, fortunately for all of us, this one did get debunked relatively quickly. In that it was proven that the reason why that match didn't happen is because the 2K14 and the WWE, they don't have rights to use Kurt Angle in his image. and therefore can't use the match. It was also why they were not allowed to use two of Roddy Piper's great WrestleMania matches because of the likeness of Mr. T not being available and Mr. T not being able to find a reasonable, apparently, dollar amount that would get him in the game.
Well, we're talking about Piper's two highest profile matches.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, for the company, since Hogan wouldn't put him over. And what's funny is that people are going to say, wow, Kurt Angle appears on WWE DVDs. Look, when you sign a contract with a wrestling promotion, they can use the stuff that you've already done, but they can't just randomly use you for future things. And creating your likeness in a video game, probably not something that is in a standard contract like that. So, you know,
absolutely.
I'm surprised, you know, Kurt Angle, maybe he didn't sign on for it because of TNA, but Hogan did, but we all know Hogan doesn't really care about TNA, so.
Yeah, Hogan is definitely the type of mercenary who will sign his stuff away, whatevs.
That's why part of that promo where Dixie is, like, laughing at Hogan saying it would have been nice if she ran that by him first, that's probably art imitating life at some,
oh,
in
yeah,
some
absolutely.
Form. Which just makes me enjoy it that much more.
What really irritated me about this article, though, is the same thing that we see happen with some of the sort of alarmists out there. And you know this as well as anybody about me, Greg, and my interest in Chris Benoit's story and what it's really meant to me and meant to the wrestling business in terms of looking at things like concussions and drugs and steroids. This is a classic example of trying to put a square peg in a round hole and make it something bigger and more connected to than what it was. It's no different than those articles where they talk about all these wrestlers who have died young and then have, you know, Owen Hart, who died of an accident, or the Junkyard Dog who died in a car crash, and be like, well, they died young because of wrestling.
Years after retirement.
Like, and JYD is one of the best. You know, Randy Savage is the same sort of thing. Like,
right.
I'm sure his drug use or whatever had something to do with his bodily condition. But to say that wrestling was the cause of his death, it's the same sort of deal. Like, this isn't some conspiracy theory with a connection to Chris Benoit. But enough about that. The other one.
I do want to make one point, though. The thing that gets me the most about this particular piece of bullshit that you called, this isn't the Wrestling Observer. This isn't WrestleZone.
No, this is Sports Illustrated. Yeah.
Like, do some research, people. Like, you're one of the most known, you know, journalism outlets in the world, and you got it wrong big time.
Yeah, it's horrible. The other one does come from our good friends of the Wrestling Observer. A report was recently released that says that Dolph Ziggler's push is being halted simply as a result of WWE officials not believing Dolph will ever be a guy who can draw money. Anyone who's watched Dolph Ziggler show up and perform at any arena and see the reaction that he garners knows that this is bullshit. This is one of those things that you can put out there with no source, with nothing behind it, and say it's 100%, you know, possibly true. Because there's nothing to it. It's pure speculation, it's pure opinion. But you know, outside of the monster reaction that he got when he cashed in, the dude garners a good reaction every time he shows up. His push was derailed by an injury. It wasn't derailed by them being like, no, just kidding. They pulled the trigger on him. They got the reaction they wanted. They didn't just reverse everything and be like, oh, this isn't working. Dolph got hurt. I think it was a concussion or something like that, to where they weren't sure he was going to be able to work. And so they had to pull the belt off of him. And then with the way wrestling goes and the way storylines go, and because they happen, you know, organically, by the time he was really ready and go back, they'd moved forward. And so now we're in a place where, yeah, I'd rather Dolph Ziggler be, you know, wrestling for the world title, but he's also wrestling one of the big up-and-comers in the company right now, and they're using his skills and his ability to help make that guy a bigger star because they believe him to be a legit star.
Well, and it's so funny for me, too, because This is what the WWE does. They push you, they pull you down. And not only that, but most Money in the Bank winners who cash in, they don't get anything extended. Like Ziggler, the thing that we have to come to grips with is he's not special in comparison to everyone else. That doesn't make him bad. He's just, you know, and watch, a year from now, watch him have this extended run at the top that none of us, you know, see coming anymore, because our time frame isn't their time frame. And I always go back to the Edge example. I thought Edge's time was long past, and that was before he won his first of 10 world titles. So it's, you know, there's plenty of time for Dolph Ziggler to do this, and so people will need to just get over that. Because it's going to be there. So if you get cut off, listener, listen to the archive. We'll have lots of fun. We'll have Tony Acero on. We'll talk about some Raw and have a good time. Patrick Goodow, before you go, I really want to yell about some people. So if we can move to the no one gets out alive portion of the rundown and just have a little bit of fun.
Oh, absolutely. Go for it.
So no one gets out alive is very simple. Patrick Goodow will read a news bite from earlier in the week, and I will bitch about it, usually about a specific individual. This is Greg DeMarco going after people. So listen to the archive. This is fun.
Cool. All right. Well, first up, earlier in the week, Ryback commented that the WWE will eventually bring in Goldberg and that he will beat him. Goldberg replied with a tweet simply saying, "Good luck with that, ...
Goldberg, shut the hell up. If the WWE called you, you wouldn't say yes, actually. You would say no, because the number that was tossed around for Goldberg before, last time they talked about bringing him back, was $4 million. Goldberg thinks he is worth far more than he is worth at this stage of the game. If they even offer you a six-figure sum of money to come in and job to Ryback, you should take it. Because what's happened with Ryback, the Goldberg chance and this Goldberg comment, has made Goldberg more relevant than he has been in years. The fact that people even bring up Goldberg is a testament to what he did, given his abilities. Ryback's better than Goldberg. We've established that on this program. So Goldberg, be happy with the fact that this keeps bringing you up. And if the chance comes in to go, don't say good luck with that. Good luck to you. Take it. Take the money and run. Don't be a pussy. Don't be a little punk. Go out there and do it, because it's the best you're going to get at this age and this stage in the game. Put Ryback over and then just go away.
Yeah, Goldberg does this every once in a while from time to time. He's kind of like Kevin Nash in this regard, where, you know, for somebody who acts like he doesn't really need the WWE, he sure does comment about different people and really pumps his own self up and what he feels he was to the business. It's a little insane.
Goldberg could come in, do the job to Ryback, like say a WrestleMania match or something like that, and then guess what? Welcome to the Hall of Fame, Goldberg.
Yeah.
You don't think they wouldn't put Goldberg in for that? Of course they would.
Oh, I agree. Absolutely. Yeah, are you ready to get a little more angry?
Of course. Yeah, this one's even
ready
better.
To embrace the rage. So, I love that this one's on here, to be honest. So, there was a recent picture of WWE Divas Champion AJ Lee holding the WWE Women's Championship. Former women's champion Medusa tweeted, "AJ never was, never will be the WWE's women's champion, as long as I officially, in all caps, mind you, hold the title. Bitch never beat me, bitch never will. However, she does," and then in parentheses, "have good mic skills. So let's see what she has to say now. ...
First of all, the parentheses are there because I had to grammatically fix what Medusa said in her tweet, because it was really hard when to actually read out loud. And if I'm grammatically fixing something you did, you know it's bad, as any of my detractors would be more than happy to point out to you. Medusa, where the hell were you? You threw that belt in a trash can in 1995. Patrick Goodow, do you know how many more reigns of the WWE Women's Championship there were after Medusa threw that belt in the trash can?
I lost count. I haven't gone back and looked.
It's okay, because 44 reigns happened after Medusa threw that belt in the trash, and it was resurrected in 1998, and it continued from... Where was she when all of these 44 reigns were taking place? AJ Lee took a photo in a WWE photo shoot holding this belt, and that caused Medusa to pipe up. That caused Medusa to hop out of her monster truck, where she's having a very successful career after wrestling, which not everybody can do, and suddenly she cares about the WWE Women's Championship, a belt that's never coming back, as much as you will. Look, Medusa, you're doing the opposite of Goldberg. You're begging them to bring you back in. You're begging them to book you again. You would love to come in and do the job to AJ, and you know it. That's exactly why you're tweeting this, just saying, just give me the one payday. Give me a couple grand to show up on Raw, show you what I can still do at the age of 50. And she's in phenomenal shape for being a 50-year-old woman. Don't get me wrong. But this is her reverse psychology. She's begging to come in. She's begging to put over AJ just so she can have one more taste of professional wrestling. Because as Patrick Goddard has talked about before, people get addicted to professional wrestling, and they just can't get away from it. And this is where Medusa is right now. So Medusa, either put up or shut up at this point, because you know that you're really not this upset about it. Otherwise, you would have spoke up, I don't know, 20 years ago?
I read that, and I just remember the first thing that came to my head was just, like, delusion. And earlier in the show, like, both of these news bites that you're sitting there talking about, Greg, there's often this phrase that people toss around about people being their own biggest marks. These are two examples of that. This is you really pumping yourself up above everyone else.
Yeah, and it's funny, too, because I never really thought Medusa was that. I really didn't. I never thought Medusa was.
And then you see that.
And then I see that. But I really don't know that it's a mark for herself. I really think she's just trying to get booked at this point.
Maybe,
she's Dennis Stamp.
It'll crack me up. What happens if, you know, suddenly that turns up at like Raw or something, you know, like where, you know, they show those, not that they would show those comments in like their full contact. But, you know, you have Michael Cole or something being like, oh, former women's champion Medusa said blah, blah, blah. Even though that's an old title name that doesn't even exist anymore. Because they're divas now.
She would walk out again. And it wasn't 20 years ago. It was 17 years ago. My math was off. But whatever. She would walk out and they'd be like, it's Medusa. And 80% of the audience would say, who? Like, they don't know who she is.
A lunger blade.
She threw the belt in the trash can in 1995. She also threw her relevance in the trash can in 1995.
She really never popped up again.
She didn't, because she did career suicide. Because what type of women's division did WCW really have in the long run? Like I think, didn't she win the cruiserweight title at some point? Like, I think that was more important than when she held the championship.
Well, yeah, they're just that wasn't a division. That was totally a ploy. You know, she participated in a ploy led by Bischoff in his whole, like, you know, work shoot, you know, angles in trying to make Nitro edgy. Like, that's what she did. She jumped right in. You know, ECW had its big moment with Shane Douglas dumping the NWA title, and they ripped that off just with a women's championship.
They did, and it did not accomplish nearly what they thought it would, because she hadn't been on WWE television for months before that, and the title was so important, they didn't bring it back until 3 years later. And even when they did, like, she would appear, she would beat somebody, she'd disappear for months, because they didn't have a women's division at the time. They had a women's champion. Now they have a women's division with a championship that most people think is meaningless, And I just don't know, where has she been this whole time when the butterfly belt came out? Like, why wasn't she mad about that? What about the rise of Trish Stratus? Did that bother her at all? Yeah, I'm just dumbfounded. And you know what? Maybe it's the same thing that I said about Goldberg. You know, maybe she wants to be in the Hall of Fame too. Like, I think the Hall of Fame is really important to a lot of these people. They'll say it isn't,
yeah. But
I think they would love to have that. Alundra Blaze, you're never going in to the Hall of Fame because Alundra Blaze threw that belt in the trash can on Nitro. You'll get in when Jeff Jarrett gets in Medusa, which is probably never. And you know, I'm sorry. Jarrett will probably get in before, because once Vince buys the TNA tape library, I could see Jarrett going in, and it'll happen.
He'll go in that since that, like, Vern Gagne went in,
right?
Like after he bought the AWA, you know, I don't think he's not going to gut TNA like he did the AWA first. Like, he'll just abide and own the tapes and.
He'll probably treat TNA like he treats WCW, as if they never really mattered anyway.
Which in my opinion is the wrong thing to do, but that's okay.
I agree with you. Agree with you 100%. So,
yep.
But the whole we get that who goes in first, Jeff Jarrett or Eric Bischoff, will be a fun topic of conversation at some point on this
program. Easy question.
Is it?
Oh yeah.
Is it Bischoff?
I think it's Bischoff. Yeah. I think that without question, like if the two of them were or what we're considering, and not that I think that Bischoff is going to get into the Hall of Fame anytime soon or anything like that, the dude was a pretty significant part of WWE television as well as being a big competitor to Nitro, and so while there is the whole he likes to say he stuck it to Vince McMahon, I think Bischoff has been. Especially in his TNA time, like, he doesn't really talk about the WWE. Like, he doesn't run his mouth. Like, he doesn't. Like, he's busy doing his stuff with Jason Hervey. I keep waiting for a Wonder Year sequel, guys. Come on, help us out. but, like, I think that Bischoff's been a lot more savvy about it, in a way that others haven't.
Yeah, no, you're right. Bischoff, the last time Bischoff talked about WWE, it was when they put his book on fire sale on their website, and he bought the remaining copies, autographed them, and sold them for a profit. And I think Vince McMahon would probably love the fact that he did that. So, I agree with you. Had I been posed with that question, I would have said Eric Bischoff as well. So I do, and I think he goes in, to be honest with you. I do. So,
yeah, I think so.
But let's sew this thing up for Patrick O'Dowd.
Bang, bang.
All right, friends. So if you're in the mood for a good little bit of comedy, take a little bit of time to go follow up on the little rivalry that's going on between Reeby Sky and our good friend Karma, also known as Awesome/Amazing Kong. They're not friends. They write really mean things about each other.
They're not friends.
and Reeby Sky's tweets in response to Karma's comments about her, and Sid Vicious is loosely involved in this as well, but I don't think that's really, that's really not what's worth here. Just go check it out. Do yourselves a favor. It's worth a good laugh.
They're not friends. I just love it. They're not friends. That's
bang,
they're
not friends. Bang, bang, bang. Try and stop it. Bang, bang. Here I come. Bang.
Booker T was recently put on the spot in an interview and was asked, was talking about him having main evented WrestleMania, which I believe was 5 matches away from the main event, but we won't point that out to Booker T right now. And he was asked what the main event of WrestleMania 40 would be, and he penned that match as Dean Ambrose versus Dolph Ziggler, which would put Ziggler in like his 40s and Ambrose in his late 30s. So I don't know. That could still definitely happen. But I just found it interesting, so there you go. According to Booker T, your WrestleMania 40 main event, presumably, so we'll just say Ambrose coming back from having shot a bunch of movies, Dolph Ziggler trying to prove himself against the movie star at WrestleMania 40 will be your main event. According to Booker T, Dean Ambrose versus Dolph Ziggler.
Bang, 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 bang. Try and stop it. Bang, bang. Here I come. Bang.
Has there anything for the good of the people?
I don't know. I think I got to put a bow on tonight. I've had a pretty good time. We had a fun interview. It's always nice to connect a little
That's
bit.
Right.
So,
that's right.
You know, well, I'm intrigued to see what next week is going to bring. I'm sure you and Tony are going to talk a lot about what Raw's going to have to do to make this coming Sunday matter.
You would think so, but we're probably going to talk about my leaving for Warner Mania. The whole
well,
time.
That too.
There is that
which,
too. There
which
is
I,
that
I didn't get a chance to say, you know, I know you've gotten a lot of very nice responses and congratulations, but congratulations, man. I am very happy for you. I think that you will continue to do some great writing and some great things over on the new site. So, a lot of people were wishing you the best of luck in your future endeavors. I'm
they
just
were.
Happy for you that you're moving into a new forum that you're very excited about.
I am. I'm very excited. They know what they're getting. They've had plenty of opportunity to see that. And, I kind of wish there was more hatred thrown my way, but, you know, whatever. It is. By the way, those of you who listen to the Nikki St. John interview and you were amazed by it, you really do owe that to Patrick O'Dowd.
You're welcome!
Next week, we get to talk about some Battleground.
All right, let's do it.
There we go, everybody. Patrick O'Dowd is done for the day. He'll probably be asleep before Tony Acero and I are done talking about 411 Mania. Speaking of Tony Acero, there is only one way to bring in our good friend.
Tony Acero.
I got to be right now. Much stronger, man. I've been waiting all night, man. That's how long I've been on ya.
Nobody really knows this, but
Tony Acero,
the softest lip, and sometimes at night we spoon.
Anthony,
yo,
what's up?
What up?
It is. I know it's exciting. We it may sound like it for the time period that you were on there, but we actually haven't been talking about my departure from the 411 Mania throughout the entire program. Just at the beginning and just right there. So that really hasn't been that hasn't dominated conversation because that would have been one hell of a boring time if that were the case.
Right.
And we did. Now, we had Sue Young and Heather Lynn on at the same time for the first time ever. That was fun. They met this weekend. They actually saw each other at multiple wrestling events this weekend and texted me pictures of them together. The pictures you're hoping for, listeners, just regular smiling pictures. So yeah.
I wouldn't
makes
mind.
Makes me, I wouldn't either. Don't get me wrong. But makes me feel good about, you know, the fact that these people will send me these things privately shows that I'm not as bad as everyone thinks I am and as delusional as people say I am publicly. So that is the fun stuff that I have. But Tony, we might as well talk about it. You and I have partnered on the Wrestling 5-on-1 since August of last year. And I was talking
great.
About, I said, at some point I will be gone. And I didn't know when it was going to be. I thought it was going to be much sooner than it was. But it is official. It was announced in the Wrestling 5-on-1 this past weekend. That was the end of my responsibilities for 411 Mania 3 years after making my debut, which pales in comparison to some people like Steve Cook, even yourself, who have put in much more time there. But moving on to different things, and that does mean that Tony Acero, my power play, my choice a year ago to make sure that you got that role actually worked, and now the spotlight is yours.
Yeah, I'm both excited and frightened. I mean, I'm not frightened, like I'm worried about whether or not the content's going to be good because I'm amazing. It's more or less there's always been a crutch of sorts to where, like, if I didn't want to do something or if I waited to the last minute, I can, you know, oh, Greg, just do another point or just throw some AJ in there. And as much as people were worried about, you know, an all AJ column, like, I think if anything, what to expect is more. First of all, I like fucking with people, so there's going to be a lot more gimmicks, not on a weekly basis, but I mean, you know, the 5-on-1, the biggest draw that the 5-on-1 has is what I hate the most about it, and
yep.
I'm definitely going to be having some fun with that shit. So, mean, yeah, the having you there and just the fact that it was yours to begin with, and even before you, like, honestly, nobody knows who wrote the Wrestling 5-1 before Greg DeMarco. I don't even remember who did it.
Which isn't fair. Which isn't really fair because it was around, and it was highly successful before I ever started writing it.
Right. The 5-1 model was given to 411 by Steve Gustafson, who, honestly, like, his Hollywood 5-1 is, like, dude just cuts and pastes stuff. I love Steve, but I know him, and I know what he does. And I mean, he's the reason why I'm at 411. He's the one that brought me there. And, you know, similar to you, he had me in his column for a number of weeks before I was thrown out on my own. And, you know, Larry, I don't know if Larry knows this, but I never applied. I never submitted work. I never put in templates or gave him a sample. I was like a little leech that just grew, and next thing you know, I'm doing Raw, and I'm writing the, you know, partnering up with you to write the biggest column on the site. Like, we get the hits. I write the two most read
you do
on that website. You know?
You do. And let's be honest, the 5-1 might be the most read column, but I bet, I know for a fact, actually, more people read the Raw report, because it's the Raw report. That's what people want to see. That's what people want to look at.
Yeah, exactly. And they read it multiple times. There's numerous clicks. There's a whole bunch of comments.
Some people, I've even seen people recently put in the comments, they don't read the results. They just keep refreshing the comments, which I find hilarious.
It's literally, since I took over this most recent time, it's literally become a forum of just awesomeness. Like, everybody's cool. There's always a dick or two, and they end up getting, like, downvoted and, like, why don't you just leave? I don't have to defend myself. They all know who I am. Larry replaced me last week because I was – where the hell was I? I don't know where I've been the past few weeks. Oh, I went to Conan to see the Breaking Bad cast, which, by the way –
Wait, you were there for that? I thought you were talking about watching TV. I didn't realize you were there live.
No, I was there. I was there live. I shook Walter White's hand. It was a beautiful thing in life. yeah, Bryan Cranston, he was really nice. And Aaron Paul – probably, like, the nicest celebrity I've ever met. Like, the dude was just – he kept, like, thanking people, and it was legit thanks. But anyways, back to the wrestling. Like, yeah, the Raw Report has really become, like, a community of readers that just, like, they're watching it with me. They know what's happening. They're not they're reading it for my jokes, and they're reading it for the comments. You know, and there's always one or two people, like, just do the report. And that person usually just gets shut up. They're like, dude, shut up. Go read it somewhere else.
Right.
And then I could just tell them, like, you know, any report you find online is probably going to be mine anyway. So deal with
most of them. Most of them. No, it's really funny. Like, I don't think our contributions are recognized enough over at 411. Let's be honest. Like, you know, it's just, again, the underappreciated we will forever be in. And I'm speaking, like, half sarcastically and half truthfully as I say that.
Yes.
But you're
we're in a position where we can say it. I mean, you know, like, you know me, as arrogant as I am on air in my writing, you know that I'm extremely humble in terms of just doing things for people. And, like, my taking over the 5-1 is apprehensive, mostly because I've got 18 units. I've got a full-time schedule at school. I work as well, even though I seem like I don't. I have a lot of Mountain Dew to drink. I have an entire family that I have to support, not monetarily, but just, you know, being there. And it's a daunting task to take on this entire column. However, my number one reason for sticking with it, you know, number two and three is it's fun and I like doing it. But number one, and people may not believe this, but number one is the fact that if both you and I left, there would be a huge hole in the site. They'd recover. I'm not saying that we're that, but at the same time, like, dude, like I said, the two most read articles on the site are written by myself and you, and for you to leave, and then for me to just be like, well, Larry, you know, I've really thought about it. I'm not going to be able to continue this. I thought it'd be a disservice to the readers, so it's like, I'm going with it.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see, like, what would happen if you were to bounce. I mean, who knows? And the whole reason that I did what I did to make sure that you were in place for whenever I ended up leaving for Mania with the Wrestling 5-1 was because, and again, it's unfair that people don't know who wrote it before me, because they did a great job and they established what I was able to. I took over a widely read, hugely successful column. I was worried that if I left that it was going to fall off, and I didn't want that to happen. Like, I wanted what I created to move on. And in my opinion, the only person for the job was Tony Acero. And whereas Tony complains about the female part of it and the verses and the and one, and look, the graphics won't be the same, but who cares? Like, that isn't – I know that's what helped set it apart, but that shouldn't be what the most important part is. Tony is a better writer than I am. Tony is a phenomenal writer. Now, sometimes you may not feel like Tony is because you don't get as much of it, but that's because of all the things that Tony just talked about. He's a busy, busy man. But I know you'll put in the time required, and you'll work a little bit further ahead than you used to. And I know that people are going to get some really great stuff, and I know that it's in good hands, which is why it is so easy for me to depart. Because I literally would have stuck around too long, just because I'd be worried about who was going to take that thing over. It was that important to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Which it shouldn't be, but it is. Like, honestly, like where right. The loyalty only goes in one direction. We all know this. But at the same time, it is what it is. The loyalty may only go in one direction from the site to us, but it doesn't go in one direction from us to the readers. And the readers are important to us, and we do. And it goes with the comments. Like, reading through those comments is somewhat amazing. Like, I did not expect – I'm sure some people were going to be like, thanks, whatever. But it was majority – like, one person, I think, complained and said I was a hypocrite. And whatever. And if that's it, then I don't know if I should be happy or upset that only one person said that about me.
I was waiting for it. You know, I mean, I've seen the 5-1 fluctuate. One week, everybody hates what we're saying. And I know their names by now. I know Reinhold.
Right.
I know, I know One Degenerate. I know Randy Ragsdale when he had his moment in the sun. Like, I know who they are. And these are the people that they'll come back and say, I'm never reading again. I hate what you're saying, blah, blah, blah. And yet they're still there. So seeing either we got a good week where you decided to leave, or it's just it's legitimate, like, you know, like it's, at the end of the day, you know, they, whether you hate us or you love us, you read us. And it goes back to what I said. As arrogant as you and I are, as much as we come off as assholes, people need to realize we're doing this for two things. We're doing it for our ego, and we're doing it for you guys. Like, there's really no other way around it. We can be dicks and say, oh, we don't care what the readers think. Well, guess what, fools? We care. We give a damn that you're reading.
Of course we do.
We may not, you know, we may not care about your opinion, but we care that you're understanding, you're taking us in, that you – see us, not just as, I think we had this conversation where when I used to read 411, there were times where it was so droll that I didn't see writers, I just saw writing. I didn't know that this person was an actual person, you know, that there's no character, I remember Geoff Eubanks was one of the only dudes that I was like, oh shit, like, I know him, I know his style, he's verbose, he's wordy, sometimes it's like, calm down, dude, but he became a person. And I think that when I assume that when people read the 5-1, they know that they're getting Greg, and they know that they're getting Tony, and they know who's who, and they know, you know, what's what. I think the radio show and the Yes, Yes, Yes page, you know, coincides with that, but still.
But the column came
first. Tell me that page isn't still growing. Good Lord.
I know.
Every week at least 10 to 15 people.
Like, more than it used to. Like, it really has taken off. So,
yeah,
and it still will, because I'm going to find ways to promote it. At the Wrestling Inc., like, I'll figure it out somehow.
Yeah.
I'm going to be doing things that don't normally – like, if you go read their columns there, they haven't had me. Like, that's the –
yeah.
You know, they haven't had me.
You'll probably
and
be the first time I check it out. And I'm definitely going to – and, you know, I mean, I know that Jeremy posts our stuff, and I know that he won't take certain things out. So, I mean, it's almost – almost a given that you're, you know, there's going to be some sort of links or two. I've already decided to give you like a little alumni section at the bottom just because I don't want to get rid of the bio.
That's so funny. That is
funny. And then I asked Michael Ornelas if he wanted to come back, and he's like, oh, does this mean I could run my Michael or my Cassius Ohno story? And I'm like, dude, it's outdated. First of all. Second of all, it's not funny. And I'm like, and I told him, like, look, really, honestly, I'm asking you back at this moment because I don't want to do all 5 points. So I figure you're going to be one of them. And he's all like, well, he said, did anybody comment about it not being there? And I said, no, you had like 3 weeks. No one cares about the one spot unless you make them care. So
right. He didn't make them care.
Nah. So I'll give him his. I'm doing it mainly because I need a. And I told him straight out. I need a spot. I need, you know, just one less thing that I would have to do. Because you know, there's always going to be a slow news week. I hate when I have to force myself to write something. So I just let him see what he can do. Maybe I'll move it up every now and then, put it in the 3 or the 5 or oh, no, not 5, but not the 5,
yeah,
but
five.
Just but something to give it a little bit more, but only if it's a good one or two. And then maybe I'll even add one myself so it has more variety. I don't know. There's a lot of little things, but basically it's going to be a slow transition. It's not going to be next week all shit changes, orange font, you know, like, you know, music in the background.
No, you don't want anything playing in the background. We know how that goes over.
Yeah, fuck yeah, I know. I'm going to link your shows from, like, in the past. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but for the last, I think, 3 or 4 weeks, the And One model has been pictures that I've made a long time ago.
Like, know that. No. But I've recycled them, too. Like every time Lizzie Valentine shows up, it's the same set of pictures. But people are like, oh,
yeah.
It's Lizzie Valentine, and they don't care. Same thing with Rain.
Yeah,
I think the first one I ever used to Rain, which didn't have any lettering on it, threw some lettering on it and repurposed it. Like, repurposing is that's very important. You know, the fan base,
there's
consistency to the fan base, and there's a ton of turnover to the reader base. So it works. It works that way.
Yeah.
And it will continue to work that way. So, and hopefully people will appreciate that and enjoy it, because it's still going to be good. What I found funny is one of the last commenters said, they look forward to my first guest appearance.
Yeah, I consider. Because it's going to be 2 weeks and you're going to be like, hey, post this.
I don't know. I don't know if it'll happen that quickly. Because I'm probably going to get a week or two off with nothing, depending on the time frame that we determine tomorrow. And then it'll come back and we'll see. Well, I don't even know what day I'm going to be writing. I don't know a lot of that stuff yet. But people who run these sites are busy people. And so sometimes they get caught up in other things. And I think it's good for Wrestling Inc. that I spent 3 years at Foreigner Mania, so I understand. Sometimes when you don't get a response, why? It's easier for me to be like, yeah, I know you're busy. Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. It doesn't. It's not a big deal. Although it would be to other people.
It would, but whatever. You know, it is, you know, what can you do sometimes? Just kind of the way that things go. So continue to support. Visit Wrestling Inc. If you've never been there before, hit up WrestlingInc.com, which is surprising because they have like twice as many readers as 411 does. But yet, I hadn't heard of them until maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago. So it's probably a very, you know, there's probably little overlap, and which means the whole new set of people will be turned on to everything. And that's kind of how you're supposed to grow, right? That's how you build things.
Exactly.
So that's what we continue to do. So should be good. I've appreciated the comments. If you're a commenter and you're listening, thank you for all the wonderful things that you said. If you're one of those people that loves to spew the hatred, thank you for that too, because that, you know, it happened the very first week. I decided to respond to it, and that really is what I think, you know, caused my quote, if I may be so harsh to say this, that's what caused my quote-unquote star to be born, was the fact that I replied to these idiots who said the things that they said, and no one else did, and that set me apart. And to the point where, you know, Ashish once told the staff, don't reply to the commenters unless you're Greg DeMarco. When he said that, I felt good. When he posted that,
pretty much.
Felt good about myself because I wasn't going to stop anyway. So, you know, it's you know, and that's the one thing about you, Tony, that I never wanted to change. The fact that the way that we're most alike is that we do whatever we want to do and suffer the consequences later. And my biggest piece of advice to you is to never let that die.
Yeah, definitely won't be. I'm sure they're going to change some. I'm going to have my AJ versus AJ versus. I'm doing it. It's going
to
fucking happen.
We've got to figure out a way to do that. I know you tried the very first time and they said no, but there's got to be a way to pull it off. They're just, because I love the idea.
I think all I got to do is get the column approved, go in there later, change the images. It's going to be great.
Which means the headline on the main page will still say, you know, AJ versus Caitlin or whatever. But then when they click in there and it's AJ, you got the new poll up. And everything else.
I'll put a picture of a swerve.
Exactly, a little swerve picture. I will, you know, to use a wrestling term, I will mark out on your column if that happens. When you pull it off and give it some time, you know, maybe around Christmas time, yeah, like when they're definitely not paying attention.
Right after
bonus. Who knows? But you can definitely pull that off, and I will be forever and even further admiration of you and your work when that happens. So
yeah, it's gonna be great.
And you will have a present for me, Tony. I haven't told you that I am planning to give you a present, but you got a present that'll be coming from me here soon. It will be to you in time for use in next week's column, and people won't even really probably know that I gave you that present, but it's definitely one that is and should live on for many, many years to come, so to speak.
Nice.
But let's give the people why they're here. Let's give the people why they're here, which isn't for us to talk about 411 Mania all day. You know, believe it or not, a week from today, there's a pay-per-view. It's called Battleground, and it doesn't have the greatest build ever. Let's be honest. I don't think anybody's going to argue with us on that point. And so tomorrow's Raw is pretty damn important. We've got three matches announced so far. So what the hell can the WWE do tomorrow night, Tony? Like, when you're recapping Raw, what will make you feel like this is satisfying?
Oh, probably nothing. I mean, I don't even know why this pay-per-view exists. I don't get it. First of all, the name is, you know, Battleground. It's like a direct-to-DVD movie name with Steven Seagal, you know? I don't understand.
Say this. It exists because they don't need to deliver a big number for a pay-per-view to be profitable. And so it's quote-unquote best for business for them, take a drink, to put on this pay-per-view because it's going to make them money. Even if the buy rate is lower than whatever random pay-per-view was in this slot last year, I don't even remember which one it was. It was probably Bragging Rights or something before Bragging Rights. I don't even know.
There was no mercy.
There was no mercy?
No, I'm kidding. No Mercy has been around for years.
I was like, when did they bring back No Mercy? Shows how much attention that I have been paying. But, yeah, I mean, it's there because it's a business. This is a business pay-per-view. And let's be honest, it is going to be a transitional pay-per-view at best.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, judging by the product that we have seen for the last few months, as a pay-per-view, the standalone pay-per-view, it's not being built well. It's probably not going to be bought all that much. But the stories that are being told right now are, I'm fully invested. I'm really interested. I love what's going on. I think that, I mean, there's little minor things that we can complain about, like, you know, Big Show's endless supply of tears and, you know, Ryback and Heyman's love story. But at the end of the day, like, it's like they're all part of something larger. And what I really want is this big-ass story with Triple H and Stephanie at top to include more people. Cody is going to come out of this looking like a fucking star. I mean, if they could do that with maybe two or three other dudes, and it's going to be great. That's what I bet they can do, if anything, tomorrow, to just include a little bit more people. Obviously, they're going to make a match or two. I don't know if AJ has a match, but they're looking to have her fight another one of the Total Divas. That thing is
probably
a little bit of steam. It looks like they're sizing up for Brie to take the match, and I just hope that she doesn't get the belt. I don't think that they need that yet.
I think they might.
I know. I just don't think they need it.
No, they don't need it. You're right. They don't need it. But with the whole Daniel Bryan thing, suddenly Brie's a face. Think if I were to pick one diva, that's probably that one total diva. It's not Natalya. Sorry, people. It's not going to be Natalya. No offense to Natalya. I'm not as big on Natalya as everyone else is. Not that she can't wrestle, but she can't do a whole lot else. and yeah. She kind of looks like a man, at least in the face. And, you know, just honestly how I feel. I don't think it's going to be Natalya. I think it's going to be Brie. I think she's won them over in the backstage perspective from the WWE standpoint simply because of the relationship with Daniel Bryan. Congratulations on their engagement. And by the way, I like I said before, I think that relationship is the only legit one out of all these random wrestling relationships that are going on. And yeah, I agree with you 100%. By the way, I did some research. This pay-per-view didn't exist last year. They literally did not have the extra pay-per-view last year. So it went from SummerSlam to Night of Champions to Hell in a Cell to Survivor Series to TLC. Like, this just simply did not exist.
Okay. Did they throw a dart at a calendar?
I guess so. I think it existed years prior. I'm just not doing the research to go that far.
I remember a pay-per-view in between before Survivor Series that happened like in quick succession. I just don't remember if it was after SummerSlam or if it was around this time. I do remember one that was like, wait, there's another pay-per-view in like 2 weeks, or, you know, it's somewhere around. I don't remember when. I don't know.
Yeah, well, in 2011, we went from, you know, the October 2nd Hell in a Cell pay-per-view to the October 23rd Vengeance pay-per-view. And then we went to the November 20th Survivor Series, which then led to TLC. But in 2012, that didn't happen. And what happened in 2010? Well, I'll tell you. We went from, let's see here. We had bragging rights in 2010 because that was when the Nexus was involved. Of course, we, you know, so we went from Night of Champions to Hell in a Cell to bragging rights to Survivor Series in 2010. So it did exist in 2010 and 2011. They just eliminated it in 2012. And let's be honest, financially they probably realized, oh, we made more money in 2010 and 2011. Let's bring back the mediocre pay-per-view because it still made money.
Right. Not a loss, so let's do it. Yeah, I don't really money. Know if they're going to do anything in particular to make me interested in the pay-per-view on Sunday. I'm sure I'll catch it somehow, unless for the last few weekends I've been gone. I don't remember what I've done. I think I went to San Diego once. I was on some road trip the week before. Vegas was probably involved. I don't know,
right,
man. It's been wild.
I know,
and I'm
I
still
there
in
was
school.
And still doing well. What's your GPA? Like, I know Tony does well in school. That's the funny part of all this.
Yeah, I got a 3.7. Something.
See? That's good. People would love to have that. People out there that would give a test.
Yeah, I've perfected balancing work and play, and it took a long time, kids.
Yeah.
Right? So, but it's, I mean, you know, I'm a little bit older in terms of college years. I don't go to school to fuck around. I'm not trying to meet new people. I don't need to go into a club or a frat or anything. I go there, I get my shit done. I talk to the teachers when I have to. I mean, I don't know anybody that's about to go to college or is there and struggling. Seriously, the best tool you have is your voice. Professor, I can't turn this in tomorrow. Would you mind if I turned it in on Friday? 9 times out of 10. Oh, that's not a problem.
No, it's true.
Oh, it's so easy.
That's true. And I know you're not there to meet people, but occasionally, Tony, it does happen.
Hey, man. I meet girls. Speaking of which, we gotta talk outside of the show, because, I mean, this girl, and then her cousin shows up, and then it just gets all messy, and, man,
I'm tired. Oh, we gotta talk about that. See, yeah, y'all gotta understand. I've been married for 14 years, and I got two kids, and I love my wife, and we do things all the time, more than most people who've been married for 14 years. But I still live vicariously through Tony, and that's why I love to hear these stories, because the man does things that I can't do. So I love
myself.
And that takes a lot. If you know anything about Tony Acero, to surprise himself is definitely. By the way, Tony, Heather said she loved me on air earlier in the show. She said, and it was like not one of those, oh yeah, I love you. She was going for the soundbite. And
okay. I mean, probably, there is a soundbite that I don't think anybody could top, but that's cool of her.
No one can ever top that soundbite because it wasn't planned. She just came out with it, and it was, you know, it will never, ever, 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 ever be.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Like, it's just not, and that's only one of them. Like, there was a whole big long thing. So
she recently added me on Snapchat, and I really don't take many pictures with the program. I just kind of have it. And the girl sends out the funniest and weirdest shit at the most randomest times. She's awesome.
She doesn't adhere to these things that we like to call a schedule. That doesn't happen for both. I had some back and forth with her. At some point, we got to bring her back on the program. It's just she's living life, you know. She's in a good spot.
As she should be. She
exactly. She does. She's been through a lot, and so hopefully, people can appreciate that for her and where she's at. And to be honest with you, people, like when she comes back on, the one thing there's not a whole lot to talk about is wrestling. So be ready for mindless discussion. Not that we didn't spend 20 minutes talking about we found out that Nikki St. John is a bit of a nerd. And when that happens with Patrick O'Dowd, oh, Lord.
Oh, yeah. His nerd boner goes right.
It did. And I gave him permission to go. He was like, can I ask another one? I'm like, sure. And she was all about it. She's a full-blown nerd. They were talking about, I don't know, I zoned out for a minute. Yeah, and not only that, but Nikki St. John has worked really hard to look as she does, and so she has no problem talking about how wonderful her ass is, which made me very happy, because it is. She does 400 squats a day, Tony. 400 squats a day.
Good Lord. I get mad if I drop my phone.
Yeah, she would probably pick it up for you just so she could be like only $3.99 more to go, but that hard work has paid off big time. That's all I'm gonna say. She doesn't have the fake boobs. She doesn't fake anything. She's very proud of that, by the way. But I said it back in June and I said it again today. That ass is real, and it is real nice. And the phrase glasses and asses, by the way, she's officially bought into that too. So
nice.
We did good today. But going back to 5 minutes ago, it is an important Raw. I don't know what they can do to entice people to buy. I don't know that they need to, because like I said, it's still going to make money. This pay-per-view to me kind of proves my UFC theory in the fact that only one or two matches even sell a pay-per-view.
Right.
For this. Now it's Orton versus Daniel Bryan, which, by the way, you covered Raw. You didn't cover Raw last week. Never mind. You were away. Did you watch? Did you see it?
Yes.
Because I don't feel like they spent much time focusing on the vacant WWE Championship last week. Like, I feel as though they almost ignored it, which is really weird because that should be the selling point of Battleground.
Yeah, it's a huge deal, and it just seems like they're – I mean, I don't even want to say going through the motions because it's relatively fresh what they're doing, but it's still like – I mean, you don't have a world heavyweight a WWE champion. You don't have it, and you're just like – it's okay, well, it's held in abeyance. Like, apparently everybody knows what the fuck that word means. I'm a writer, and I've never said it, okay? So like, when they said it on Raw, I'm like – and so the title's held up. Like, I didn't even try to say, hear what he said. I didn't even try to be like, yeah, I know exactly what that means. Because nope, I didn't know until that day. Thank you, Triple H. I'm sure I'll use it in a story now.
What's really funny is that when Triple H said the title was being held in abeyance, we all knew what it meant, but yet 99% of us had never used that word.
Yeah.
And I couldn't give you the definition.
Obeyance.
I could give you the definition of abeyance. If my life depended on it, I'd probably get shot and killed. But I knew what he was talking about, and it was just, and it sounded, you know, it sounded very chief operating officer like for him to use the phrase abeyance, or use the phrase abeyance. But it's just so weird that, you know, even during the show we talked about vacant, and Heather pointed out to me there is actually an @WWEvacant Twitter account, which is pretty downright funny. And I searched it. She brought it up. She was like, apparently Vacant is really upset about things. And I'm like, what is she talking about? And so I went to Twitter and found WWE Vacant. And unfortunately, it has more followers than we do. But, you know, that's just what people look for. So I need to create one of these Twitter accounts and then just eventually change it to me later is what I need to do. I'm sure people have done that, kicked off Twitter for it. But whatever. Who cares? But this, yeah, it should be the major selling point. But it just goes to show you that, you know, the belts really are just props in the end, because this match is no more or less meaningful with the title being involved. We made our predictions earlier, Tony. I am on the record saying that Battleground will end without a WWE champion. I think it goes to Hell in the Cell, where a champion has to be crowned, because there can be no interference, you know, quote unquote. Of course, you can pull
right.
it off. In the Cell, and so I really think this is the ultimate transitional pay-per-view, in the sense that the belt will still be held in abeyance after Sunday, leading to Hell in a Cell. What do you see happening when Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton lock them up once again on pay-per-view?
I totally agree. I feel that they're going to not have anyone be a champion, that they're going to attempt to screw Bryan again. And, I mean, if they're doing what I hope they're doing, they're building up to something big, and it's going to take a couple more weeks to get there. It's going to piss a couple more people off. This is one of those pay-per-views that's going to upset people. Like, I don't think that you're going to have a winner. I think that, you know, the Hell in the Cell is the be-all, end-all of that particular, not of that story, but at least of that chapter. And, you know.
Oh, yeah, something big is coming. Heather used the exact same phrase, something big is coming. And I'll be honest, I think something big is going to be complete and utter chaos when it happens. Like, I think it's going to be wonderful. You know, the little things that have happened, like the Rhodes family jumping in and attacking the Shield, like very much like the Attitude Era, and I'm not saying the Attitude Era is coming back, but let's be honest. Last week, Triple H screwed the Shield. Like, you put them in an 11-on-3 match, and damn if they didn't come out looking like $1 million, by the way. Even though they lost, like Roman Reigns, people were like, damn, he can go. Like, it just, you know, they came out literally looking like $1 million, thanks to the way they were booked in an 11-on-3 match last week. Like, the Shield, from what we know of them for the first 10 months of their existence in the WWE, they shouldn't take that lion down.
Right.
You know, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. And since you haven't been on, we haven't really had a chance to talk this to death, which is good. I think we're seeing everything literally play out on TV. I don't think Triple H and Orton are in cahoots in any way. I literally think what, you know, Orton says he didn't know Triple H was going to do that. Orton, the character, didn't know Triple H was going to do that. And I really think that he's just another pawn in their game, just like the Shield is. And that's why I think this eventually leads to a very chaotic, very entertaining chapter in the story.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what minds got together to create this. There aren't any new writers that I'm aware of. It just seems like an idea that, like, this is what I've always wanted them to do. I've wanted an elongated story that involved numerous wrestlers that can build off and branch off like a tree, rather than episodic, you know, storylines that are more soap opera-ish, where each story is contained within itself. A good wrestling show, at least I think, has that same branch going throughout the show with little branches just coming off of it. And that's what this is like. I mean, you know, it's only a matter of time, hopefully, before Kofi, you know, tries to, you know, officially stand up and gets knocked down by somebody else. And then you got a little storyline right there that is still a part of the bigger one. And you see that with, the Shield, you see that with Rhodes, you see that with, you know, a lot of other wrestlers that are, I'm hoping, will grow into something bigger. This is helping everyone. It's amazing.
It is. It really is. Like, Orton looked better than ever. We haven't cared about The Miz this much since he was WWE champion, let's be honest. And
right?
Hell, I mean, exactly. Like, they've made us care. Even The Big Show. Like, The Big Show has been there forever, and yet we care more about The Big Show at this point. Like, Cody Rhodes' star has never been bigger than it is right now. And if they figure out a way to work in Dolph Ziggler, next thing you know, people stop complaining about that. The Shield, I mean, they look great at this point. Of course, Daniel Bryan is at the apex of his career. So it's just, you know, it really is working wonders. And we're looking at Triple H and Stephanie in ways that we've never looked at them before. So it really is so well done that I can't complain about the little things, because it's professional wrestling.
Right.
We have to be able to suspend disbelief. I almost wish they didn't explain the Ironclad contract thing, because I didn't care about it as much as everybody else did. And you know, I just wanted to continue. I don't want this to be a short thing, you know. There have been internet reports that are like after November, Triple H and Stephanie aren't scheduled to be on TV. Like, I don't buy into that. And I also can't see them investing this much into those two for it to end just like that. And next thing you know, we're left with John Laurinaitis or Vince McMahon on television again. This is just too much in one direction for that to happen. It's just way, way too damn good. I do think there will be a satisfying point to the pay-per-view on Sunday, and I think that's going to come in the World Heavyweight Championship match. As you know, Tony, sometimes I'll throw out there on what could happen, but I made it my official prediction this time, Tony. My full prediction is simple. Rob Van Dam will defeat Alberto Del Rio and win the World Heavyweight Championship. Everyone is predicting Ricardo Rodriguez to turn. I think Ricardo Rodriguez does turn, but he turns and becomes Damian Sandow's personal ring announcer when Sandow cashes in, which no one will expect, and finally becomes World Heavyweight Champion on this pay-per-view, not, you know, anywhere else that people will think he's going to. And he ends up being aligned with Ricardo Rodriguez. That's the prediction that I made, because I do believe that RVD is going to take some time off after this, like the reports have said.
Yeah, that's a ballsy prediction. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing it happen. You know, the World Heavyweight Championships, it sorely needs somebody that's not Del Rio. The dude can go in the ring, and I've never seen him have a bad match, but he's just like, I don't know if it's personality, I don't know if it's lack of personality, but he's just, he doesn't work as a face, and he doesn't work as a heel. It's just, it's not working.
And I don't necessarily agree. Like, I like Del Rio, and I think he's fine with where he's at, especially when this is a secondary championship. I don't want to see him with a WWE title at any point in time, but he doesn't need it either. Like, he would work just fine. He would be just as over, just as relevant without that belt, and I think he will be. I also think, you know, if there is a little bit of a youth movement, why not do it this way with Damian Sandow? So,
yeah,
that's what I see happening. And, of course, CM Punk and Ryback, it's going to happen. Punk is so over at this point that I don't think it matters what happens in this match.
Nope. I mean, for Ryback, this is, I mean, he's finally got something that's interesting, and he's going to have a match with Punk, which I think is better than a match with anybody else. I'm not sold on Ryback. I never have been. But at least it's funny watching him say, I don't like bullies, and then bullying CM Punk instead of some dude in catering. I don't need him pouring soup down somebody's pants. I need him wrestling or picking on a wrestler. Like, I just, those are all so pointless to me. I kind of feel like
all of Ryback's bullying was literally set up just so that he could slam CM Punk through a table, pick up the microphone and say, no one likes a bully. Like, I really feel like that's why they do that. Meanwhile, he continues to show up at their Be a Star campaign and no one seems to have a problem with it. So.
Right.
It's a TV show. I think, you know, Stephanie McMahon was the one that pointed out on Twitter. She was like, he's a TV character, and bullying happens on all the other TV shows, and no one complains about it. So get over it. You know, and I agree 100% with that perspective. So it's going to be a fun pay-per-view to react to, because I really do think it's going to piss some people off.
Yes.
Just because they're still telling a story, and this they need to transition from one point to another. So if you're buying this expecting something major to come out of it, that's not what you're buying it for the wrestling. You're not buying it for the story at this point. If you want an end to the story. I don't want an end to the story. I'd be upset if they did end the story at the pay-per-view. So
They need this story. With John Cena gone, they need something that is going to be able to hold interest. And, you know, like him or hate him, Cena left a huge hole. And that's not his fault. That's actually their fault. But still, it needs to be filled.
It's true. It is true. And they need to have that huge hole for John Cena, because they need to realize that they can do it without him to allow themselves to not have the Cena crutch and have to be a little bit more creative with the guy. So, excellent.
Yes.
Tony, we're just about out of time. And, you know,
yes,
we hate getting cut off by Blog Talk Radio League. So, next week we get some reaction on the pay per view, and then we'll see where everything goes from there.
All right, I'll talk to you next week.
You got it at is it Tony Acero 411 on the Twitter? I always forget.
Yes.
There you go. At Tony Acero 411 on the Twitter. Search for him on Facebook. Join the Yes 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 group, and he'll drop all the information about his books there. And read the Wrestling 5-1 with Tony Acero next week. over at Foreign. We'll do it again next week.
All right, bye.
There you go. And that's going to do it for this week's edition of the Greg DeMarco Show. Thank you for listening. And, yeah, we will talk to you again next week.
Let's hear it for me!
Greg DeMarco
is a great lover.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.